Mark Carmen, Adam Hogue.
Chicago Sports Conversation.
Wide, wide world of sports.
This is The Beat.
Well, Mark Carmen, I'm sorry that your Hall of Famers, great Bears players.
No.
Have been replaced with me. You're now stuck with me for the next 4 hours. Dan Hampton, not Ed Obradovich, not Glenn Kozlowski.
I mean, let's be honest. It's a huge blow, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to get over it. I miss those guys. I love those guys, but I do get to see you, and I love you too. So it's all, hey, it's you know what? You know what life is about, Adam, if I may? It's about being in the moment, and this moment is me and you together. That moment has come and gone, and now it's this moment, and the Bears have another DeAndre.
Yeah, I think Ryan Pace has a thing here for Dion and DeAndres.
Well, it's a great name, and it's a name that it inspires confidence and terror in the opposition. When you have a DeAndre on your roster, I mean, you can't have enough DeAndres. That's clearly the Bears' philosophy right now.
What is this? Obviously, we got to come up with some. You know how, like, there's a Legion of Boom in Seattle? The Bears' secondary could theoretically consist of two safeties, Deion Bush and DeAndre Houston Carson, and then at corner, DeAndre Hall.
I love it.
Now,
how's Jeff Joniak going to handle all that, honestly? How is Zach Zaidman going to be able to differentiate? How is Adam Hogue in a Bears blog?
Well, maybe we'll use their last names.
Yeah, there is that option. But still, I mean, I'm a first name guy.
The Flying D's?
The Flying D's on the Bears D, huh?
The Flying D's on D.
D. I think I just did one extra D. We only have three.
We have Deion Bush, the free safety out of Miami.
D squared plus one.
DeAndre Hall, who spells his name Deion.
D for three.
Like Deion Sanders, plus Dre. DeAndre with a apostrophe at the end.
Triple D, 3D.
Now, he could either play cornerback or safety. I love him at corner. He's got some Charles Tillman in his game.
Wow, that's high praise.
His arms are longer than Kyle Long's arms. Think about that. He's a cornerback.
We're talking about DeAndre Hall now. That's the man with the long
right.
arms.
And then you have DeAndre Houston Carson.
How's his arms?
Don't know, but he spells his name D-E and then Andre, like Andre Dawson.
I do like Andre Dawson.
Another D.
Now that'd be 40. Let's hear. Latest pick by the Chicago Bears, DeAndre Houston Carson out of William & Mary. This is what they say about him. 2014 season ended due to injury. 67 tackles, 3 interceptions in 9 games. Returned to form in 2015. He was a consensus All-American at free safety. Started 3 years at cornerback. Where'd you say you like him? Even though
I'm always honest. Yeah. And DeAndre Houston Carson, not really on my radar.
A prototypical size, plenty of speed to make plays in the deep secondary. You gotta like that. He intercepted 4 passes. He returned 1 for a 94-yard score. Houston Carson possesses secure tackling skills.
What are you reading this off of?
This is NFL.com.
Okay.
That's a credible source, right?
No, I just wanted to, I was just curious.
Yeah. Let's see.
Make sure we give him credit.
Do you go to the, are you like a Nolan Rocky guy? Are you a?
Well, first of all, I watch my own tape and then but NFL.com, the Lance Zierlein, who does those.
Right.
NFL.com does a great job. This year, actually, last 2 years, Greg Gabriel, the former Bears director of scouting, who I know personally and like a lot, Greg Gabriel, he did the Pro Football Weekly magazine.
Right.
And so that's a great source, too. I got away from Nolan this year.
Did you step off of Nolan?
I stepped off of Nolan.
No disrespect to Nolan.
And I didn't even realize it till yesterday when a couple Bears reporters at Hallis Hall had his book, because he does a great draft book every year. I recommend it. I'm just saying that for some reason this year you can only read so much. And again, I trust myself and my own evaluations. I'm not trying to. Actually, by the way, though,
yes,
have you read the Adam Hogue Bears mock drafts on WGN Radio?
Every single one of them. How many did you do? 5?
I did 4.
Okay, 4.
Are you aware of 2 of the picks that I made this week? They were in this week's Bears mock draft.
Not this week's, no. Go ahead.
DeAndre Hall.
Nailed it?
Northern Iowa in that exact pick in the fourth round, number 127 overall.
Fist bump.
Okay, so I'm feeling pretty good about that. What's the next pick the Bears make?
That would be the Miami pick.
Am I wrong? No, it would be your buddy Howard Jordan.
Oh, you picked on you picked on Howard Jordan / Jordan Howard.
Jordan Howard, the running back out of Indiana. Now, I had him in the fourth round, though. Bears took him in the fifth. Still, though, these were two guys in my Bears mock draft this week.
Did you have them drafting Glenn Kozlowski's brother, Nick Kwiatkowski?
I did not have. I like Kwiatkowski, though.
6'2", 243 inside linebacker out of West Virginia. That was the Bears' 113th overall pick in the fourth round.
I did like Scooby Wright, the inside linebacker out of Arizona, and Tyler Matakevich. Out of Temple. Have we ever had a segment with so many crazy names, though? I mean, think about all the names we've thrown out here in the first 7 minutes of our show.
Well, and we're just there, but they're all Chicago Bears, right? They all wear the same C on the helmet, baby.
Yes.
We're playing for the front, not the back of the jersey on this show.
We got a lot to get to on the show today. Adam Johns is up at Hallis Hall. He's my podcast partner. Listen to that intentional grounding. He's going to join us after the 3:30 news. Pat Fitzgerald is going to join us later on in the show. We're waiting for Danny Vitale to get drafted at some point. Dean Lowry from Northwestern already went to the Green Bay Packers. Your thoughts?
I like Dean Lowry a lot, and I love talking him up at Northwestern. I think he has a chance to be a rotational player in the NFL. And
he's going to fit in great there in Green Bay. And he really is.
Opportunity to go to the Green Bay Packers, as much as you know you're around here playing at Northwestern, you're in the NFL. Green and gold it is. Let's go. I'm sure he's not disappointed by being picked by Green Bay. That's just the reality. I mean, Steve McMichael, Jim McMahon, Julius Peppers, long list of Bears that have played for the Packers. Not that Dean Lowry has ever played for the Bears. It would have been great if he had been here.
You know what? I'll reach out to Dean, see if we can get him on the show.
All right. Everything's coming up. Cubs, Sunday, the hot-hitting Northsiders close out the homestand against Atlanta. Cubs and Braves Sunday at 1 on WGN-TV. Your thoughts on the draft, 312-981-7200. We'll get to Adam Hoge's favorite Chicago Bears pick so far.
Can we
do that?
Absolutely.
We're going to do that next. Hoge has been all over this like he always is. We'll get his favorite pick, who he's most excited about, coming back on 720 WGN.
We just had enough names that I felt like if we could go back, they would still be there, you know? And at some point in this draft, I wanted to acquire more picks. And this night couldn't have worked out better for us in regards to that. So I was very happy when we were able to go back and still get the guys that we want and then get these additional picks.
That's the Bears general manager, Ryan Pace. Gotta like it when you can get the guy you want and get an additional draft pick. Can't argue with that. I'm Mark Harmon. He's Adam Hoge. It's The Beat, 720 WGN. Before we get to your favorite Bears selection at this point, do you ever think that Ryan Pace is trying to prove himself as the smartest guy in the room?
No. I felt that way about Phil Emery. I don't get that feeling with Ryan Pace.
Well, Kevin White barely played, right? I mean, he had one good season.
Yeah.
Okay, and now you're taking a defensive end.
Two good seasons. One
breakout NFL, yeah. Like, you're going to be a stud. I'm going to pick you in the top 10 season. And then now you're picking a defensive lineman, linebacker.
But here's the thing. I mean,
maybe I'm dead wrong
these
here.
These draft picks are very... I mean, these read more like John Fox, Vic Fangio than they do Ryan Pace.
That's fair.
I mean, I got the sense when Phil Emery was drafting that it was like one guy running the whole show. Ryan Pace brought in... I don't know how many people realize he made 30 hires last year in the Bears.
It's a lot.
Organization. They added a ton of staff. And it actually affected the media. The reason we got kicked out of the dorms in Bourbonnais during training camp was because they had more staff and they needed those rooms for Bears personnel.
It wasn't because you were causing problems?
No. They literally... All those rooms were full. And so... My point is that he really is relying on his scouts. I think this is a group decision. Last night he was asked a question by a reporter. You know, your front seven now, this is really your creation. Your front seven is mostly guys you picked or signed. And it was presented like, this is your creation, Ryan Pace. And he immediately answered the question by saying, well, I think this is our creation. with John Fox, Vic Fangio, and Josh Lucas, who's his right-hand man, which is the guy Bears fans should know, director of player personnel, Josh Lucas, who we brought over from the New Orleans Saints with him. So, no, I don't get the sense at all that Ryan Pace, he doesn't give that vibe off at all, that he thinks he's smarter than everyone else. I think he has a system in place. I think he relies on that system, and I think he truly is drafting the best player available at each spot. Otherwise, how do you explain them coming up with three DeAndres who all play the same position?
I suppose that's fair. I just look at Leonard Floyd in particular. Maybe he's great, but there's a bust factor with somebody like that. Agreed?
I agree. He's very thin.
I mean, there's not a lot of guys that you can look to that, hey, you look like him and you're going to be that successful. Now, maybe he'll be an out-of-the-box guy who's just that thin and can basically go out and catch a pass and run as fast as a cornerback.
Yeah.
But yet be physical enough to get to the quarterback. You're asking an awful lot.
By the way, I sat down with Leonard Floyd yesterday. We talked about his weight. We'll play that for you at some point during the show.
Let's get your favorite pick.
And by the way, 312-981-7200, Bears fans out there as well, who's your favorite pick? Who do you have a problem with? Are you convinced that Leonard Floyd is going to work in the NFL? We're here for you for the next, 3.5 hours now until 7 o'clock, talking draft with you. My favorite pick, Mark Carmen, is, and it's not just because I got it right technically, I think I always make this clear in what I write these mock drafts and when I'm on the air. When I do them, I'm not trying to be right. I'm trying to give you the players that I like that could fit this team. And if they happen to be the guys that the Bears take, all that means is that Ryan Pace agreed with me. That's all it means. And I get a hell of a lot more wrong than I get right, obviously, because the chances of actually nailing one of these not very high. But DeAndre Hall, this cornerback from Northern Iowa, was a guy that I knew nothing about until I went to the Senior Bowl in January. And this is why I go to the Senior Bowl, because there are guys there that you just can't see. Guy, you think I watch Northern Iowa?
Nobody watched Northern Iowa.
No, unless they're coming to Evanston and they're playing Northwestern and I'm on the sidelines.
Well, Dave Ennett probably watched Northern Iowa because he's Mr. College Football and he knows everything about every school. But outside of Dave Ennett, nobody watched Northern Iowa. Even people in Northern Iowa didn't watch Northern Iowa. Go ahead.
So let me share the process here with you. So my first mock draft was in February, so about 2 weeks after the Senior Bowl. This is what I wrote about DeAndre Hall, who I originally put in Bears Mock Draft 1.0 in the sixth round, the 10th pick in the sixth round. And I said early opinion, this is what I wrote, early opinions are mixed on the tall, long corner who will be making a big jump up from the FCS level. Hall got a lot of people excited in Mobile when he measured in with 34 3/4 inch arms. To put that in perspective, Mark, that is the arms of a left tackle. His arms are a full inch longer than Kyle Long's. That's crazy to think about for a cornerback.
Love a big arm.
He has a ridiculous 82 almost 83-inch wingspan. But his play in the Senior Bowl left a lot to be desired. On measurables alone, Hall projects as a good fit in Vic Fangio's defense because he comes from a 3-4 hybrid scheme where he played a lot of press man coverage. His long arms allow him to get his hands on the football, and he registered 13 interceptions in college, returning 4 of them for touchdowns. That's what I love here. This guy is a takeaway machine. And he's not content just grabbing the ball. He likes to score. That takes you back to the Lovie Smith era. That takes you back to Charles Tillman. Guys that not only got the ball, but their goal was to score. Now, I see two major problems that could prevent Hall from becoming an early starter. He doesn't have the strength to be able to jam at the NFL level like he did so easily at the FCS level. He's making a big jump up here in competition. And against Ohio State's Braxton Miller, who we all know, he came to the Senior Bowl playing wide receiver, so these guys went up against each other a lot. Braxton Miller kicked his ass a few times. So, you know, he's going to be making up he's very raw. He's making a big jump up in competition. But, and I know we got to get to a break here, in the last few months, by the time we got to this week and I did my fourth and final Bears mock draft, I moved him up to the fourth round, to this exact pick where the Bears ended up taking him, just because I did a little bit more homework on him. I think he can add the weight and the strength he needs to his frame. And I knew that there was going to be a team that fell in love with this guy's potential, the length. He's a perfect fit in this Bears offense. And I, again, watching some of his film, he looks like Charles Tillman, if he can add the strength. Because Charles Tillman, This may sound creepy. That's one of the most chiseled dudes I've ever seen in the
Reds locker
room.
Oh, he's a big boy.
But just in terms of pure, like...
workout machine.
Oh, my God. And so Hall's going to have to do that if he wants to be Charles Tillman. That's a big... That's the best cornerback of Bears history. But it's a great guy to want to be, and he even said that today to Bears reporters when he called in, that that's a guy he looks at and models his game after.
Another very chiseled man. Adam Johns will be with us here after the 3:30 news.
This is our expanded coverage of the 2016 NFL Draft from Chicago on 720 WGN. Sponsored by the United Association Union of Plumbers, Fitters, Welders, and Service Technicians.
About to talk to Adam Johns of the Chicago Sun-Times and, more importantly, Intentional Grounding with Adam Hoge. I'm Mark Harmon. This is The Beat, 312-981-7200. Dan Vitale, Northwestern, go Cats. Off the board, selected by the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, sixth round, 197 overall. And the next pick, Derek Watt. Why is that interesting? Well, he went to Wisconsin, a fullback, both fullbacks, and Northwestern over Wisconsin. Purple, greater than Badger. That's what I'm feeling right now, Mr. Badger, Adam Hoge.
I would take Vitale over Derek Watt, no question. Hey, Derek Watt, the brother of J.J. Watt.
Yeah, baby.
And he's headed to San Diego. Why is that interesting? Well, he used to block for Melvin Gordon at the University of Wisconsin.
How'd he do
this year?
He'll
be blocking for Melvin Gordon in San Diego. Well, you know, Melvin Gordon, MG3, did not have Derek Watt blocking for him.
Oh.
So now he'll be okay.
Okay.
It was not a great rookie year for Melvin.
Kind of like Adam Johns needs a Patrick Finley out there for him, just to, you know, a Mark Potash, somebody to clear the way as he makes his move around to Hallis Hall, right?
Absolutely.
You liking that analysis?
I need my Potash and I need my Finley. That's my team. They're my go-to guy. Potash is more like my lead blocker, though. You know, if you need a hard question asked in the press conference, he's a guy that goes bullying his way right in there.
Yeah, he had the negative question yesterday with Leonard Floyd. I forget exactly what it was, but he asked, like, the one negative question.
Leonard, why are you going to be so bad? Like, even though some people think you're going to be good, was that the question?
I don't remember. Hey, Adam, last night in the middle of the second round there, and you see Christian Hackenberg's name come off the board of the New York Jets, I mean, what's going through your head? I mean, was your soul crushed?
I'm thinking you better not order a cake from Portillo's. So I saw your order on Twitter, and that's what we're standing by. It's already out there. You made it public. What do you want? A beef and fries, a six pack of what? Lagunitas? Did I see that right?
No, it's Kona Brewery Golden Ale, the Big Wave Golden Ale.
Can we get a recap of what this bet was,
yeah,
please?
So for those that don't listen to Intentional Grounding, the phenomenal Bears podcast that you can hear on WGNRadio.com and find it on iTunes by searching Intentional Grounding. So Adam and I do this podcast together throughout the season. We've had some special draft episodes here before the draft, and we made a bet as we debated the quarterbacks. I said that Christian Hackenberg...
Quarterbacks.
Is that what I said?
I thought you said cornerbacks. Never mind. Quarterbacks. Yeah.
Probably said it quickly. Okay. I said that Christian Hackenberg from Penn State, who's very polarizing, would no chance he slips to the third round. He's definitely getting drafted before the third round, so we bet on that. And, it's just easy money for me. Easy money.
You know what, Carmen? I didn't believe it. I thought he was insane. I think many of the people still consider it a pretty insane pick, but that's the quarterback-driven league that the NFL is now. People, you either have them or you don't, and you try to find them any way you can, and that's what happened with the Christian Hackenberg situation. And I'm out a six-pack of beer and a Portillo's beef because of it.
Well, and Adam, I would have lost too, because I read so much negative stuff on Christian Hackenberg, I would not have believed him to go in the second round. What do you make of the Bears not taking a quarterback? Because many people thought they would, and I mean, maybe they will in the seventh round, but they certainly had opportunities to do it earlier, and they haven't.
Yeah, I still think they got, one pick left? You know, Brandon Allen, unless you guys can update me here, I still believe is available. That's a guy they are very familiar with.
Yeah, he's still there.
But he doesn't have the ideal measurables. You know, he's kind of on the shorter end. His hands are small. He had a big combine story about it, making his hands bigger through massages. We'll see if he's on the radar in the seventh round.
Did you know you could do that, Carl?
Wait a second. You can make your hands bigger by massaging your hands or having people massage them?
Brandon Allen
did
it.
There are certain masseuses who can help elongate your hands, Carm, if you're interested.
Well, you know what they say about big hands, so I might be interested. And speaking of small hands or hand size, isn't Jared Goff's one of his projected issues is that he's got small hands, your number one overall pick to the LA Rams?
Yes, but I don't think they were as small as Allen's, and I think Jared Goff is also taller, a little bit bigger overall, you know, from a body type, and he's got a bigger arm, too, coming out of Cal.
Okay.
Okay, so let's go over what's going on today. As have the reporters in the Hallis Hall media room come up with a nickname yet for the Bears secondary? I mean, they got a lot to live up to here with the Legion of Boom out there in Seattle. But you have Dion, DeAndre, and DeAndre all drafted in the secondary today. So
yeah, we're all having fun with that. We didn't know that was a prerequisite to be named after I don't know, Deion Sanders, or just have a different take on a spin. Deion Miller of ABC 7, Channel 7 Chicago, is probably on the Bears draft board here for the number.
Good point.
The first seventh round pick.
What have you taken away? Because I'm not up there today. I usually would be, but I'm down here in the studio doing the show. So there's conference calls with all these prospects today. What have you taken away? So it started with Nick Kwiatkowski earlier, Deion Bush, DeAndre Hall, Jordan Howard, and DeAndre Houston Carson. What have you learned from these guys?
Let's look at Jordan Howard, because I think, to me, out of all these guys, he's the most notable pick who could get the most playing time next year. And I think his conference call, I mean, these things, fellas, Adam, you know, they could go anywhere from 2 minutes to 3 minutes to 10 minutes, depending on how interesting the player is. Jordan Howard so far has had the longest because, one, he's a running back. Bears have been looking for a running back, and he's got a pretty interesting story going from Alabama, Birmingham. You know, they shut down their program, goes to Indiana where he becomes a star, and a lot of people had high round grades on this guy. Some people saw this kid as a day two selection, and here the Bears are getting him in the fifth round, correct me if I'm wrong. And kind of a, I don't want to call it a steal, but this is a very good pick, very good value, and a player who could come into that backfield right now and be a contributor. He's a different runner than Jeremy Langford, who's a stronger runner than people give him credit for, but he's fast. His speed is his number one attribute. Howard is a plower. You know, he's a grinder. That's what he called himself. He's 6 foot, 230 pounds. He's a strong running back with pretty good vision. Pretty good pick by the Bears, I believe.
And Kadeem Carey runs like a bowling ball, too, but he doesn't have the size of Jordan Howard. And we saw last year him suffer a concussion. I like Kadeem Carey. My fear with him is that he's just going to keep getting himself hurt at the NFL level with that kind of crazy running style, that because he doesn't hold anything back. And I love that style, but you're going to get beat up in the NFL like that. So I like the Bears adding depth here with Jordan Howard, who, you've just flip on that Michigan tape from last year, was really good against maybe the country's best run defense.
It was a big need too, Adam. I think we talked about this in intentional grounding. I mean, the Bears, they got worse at the running back position in the offseason despite all their additions elsewhere. I mean, their offensive line looks better, their defense looks better, but Matt Forte left in free agency, and you didn't add anybody to go with Jeremy Langford and Kadeem Carey. Now you get this kid late in the draft. Again, good value, and you're right, that's a good comparison between him and Carey. The Bears do like Carey, but this guy, Howard, is just physically bigger, more imposing. He can handle hits better. He likes to wear down defenses, and he can take those hits as opposed to Carey.
What's going to happen with Matt Slauson?
He's really in the hot seat here, Carm. I really believe that. I think the Bears want to keep him on the roster into training camp because I think he's an option at center. But, look, I wasn't surprised by the Cody Whitehair move. I actually absolutely love it. I think he's a very good player with a lot of potential. You know, he is a very highly rated guard coming out of Kansas State. But the moves for Manny Ramirez and Ted Larson, yes, they addressed the need, but they also told me the Bears want to get better somehow in the middle of their offensive line, which made guys like Whitehair big options for them early in this draft.
Yeah, and look, it is interesting to see what the Bears have done investing. What's Ted Larson making, like $1.5 million? For 1 year?
Yeah, there's a lot of incentives, like in a lot of these deals they sign with these guys in free agency. It's full of incentives.
I'm careful, Adam, to avoid making conclusions just off the contracts this time of year. I mean, just because a guy's making a lot of money doesn't mean he's in there for a starting spot. I don't I think Ted Larson's a depth guy, and I think he helps improve that. And then you add Cody Whitehair, and I think it's important to remember that the Bears traded back twice, and there was a report that they tried to trade up earlier in the round. So there's a very good chance they were not going to end up with Cody Whitehair. I mean, that's just how the round played out. It's not like this was a premeditated, oh, we absolutely have to go out and get a really good guard. And I love the pick. I think he's going to be a good player for many years to come on the Bears' offensive line. But as soon as the pick's made, everyone's throwing Matt Slauson out of town and forgetting that he's probably been their best, most consistent offensive lineman the last 3 years. So I think that it's going to add more competition? Someone in this mix is going to maybe lose their job? Sure. I wouldn't jump to conclusions in April.
You know what? And here's another thing. The Bears aren't going to be afraid to grab a guy who's going to make them younger, possibly better in the next couple of years. So here, and this is what Cody Whitehair does here in this situation. I mean, you read some of these scouting reports. I mean, the words Pro Bowl and All Pro are included in the scouting evaluations of this player. So he's got all the potential there. And again, you know, relating to Sloss and Larson Ramirez, the Bears want to get younger. I mean, if this is the best player available on their board and they feel like this is a need, there is no reason why they should pass this player up just because Matt Sloss and Manny Ramirez and Ted Larson were signed.
Hey, Adam, one of my favorite things from listening to all the interviews, Leonard Floyd's got a little bit of military background. 1 year in the academy in high school, and every question it's yes sir, yes sir, yes sir. I mean, that's a little bit different for both you and Adam Hogue and everybody else.
And a yes ma'am.
And a yes ma'am. He threw a yes ma'am at Peggy.
Yep.
I mean, here's
which I do that too every time I talk.
As you should, as I do as well. I mean, this is a very respectful guy. How long until he doesn't give you a yes, sir, when you ask a question? How long until you guys – how long until that switches?
Hey, Kyle Fuller gave us plenty of yes, sirs on his first day at House Hall.
Right. How long did that take?
You know, maybe with Floyd, as soon as he reads my first column, I wrote about him being kind of critical of the selection, and then for me. But you know what? I'm coming around on the pick a little bit.
Why?
I fill out his frame. Because I even mentioned it in the column I wrote, you know, right after the pick, is that you got great coaches here, starting with John Fox, Vic Fangio, your defensive coordinator, and outside linebackers coach Clint Hurt, who Sam Ochoa told me on the phone the other day might be one of the best, most underrated coaches across the league. That's how much he loves this guy. So he's in a great situation. Leonard Floyd here is to really take off, really take in great coaching from Fox, from Fangio, to Hurt, and those guys have earned the benefit of the doubt. Look, you can have all the questions you want about this Leonard Floyd kid because he is 6'6", 244 pounds, or 240 because he lost weight since the combine. Looks like a basketball player. But you have to believe that the potential that Fangio and Hurt and Fox see in him is something, and that they could turn him into something on the football field that actually produces.
Hey, just an update. Brandon Allen's off the board. The quarterback, John Z and I both kind of speculated he's got a connection to Dow Loggins, so could he be a fit for the Bears? But he's off the board. He goes to the Jaguars, number 201. Jaguars coached him in the Senior Bowl.
And the last pick goes to Detroit, Anthony Zettel, out of Penn State, defensive tackle. So no Brandon Allen there, Adam Johns. That leaves, in my mind, David Fales and nobody else.
The Bears let's not forget that the Bears – blocked him from being signed by, I think, who was it, the Ravens last year? Mark Trestman made a late season run at him after Joe Flacco went down in Baltimore. So,
yep. And it was the Patriots the year before that tried to sign him?
Yeah, so two regimes here at Dallas who blocked other teams from signing him off the practice squad.
No, you got to keep that in mind. Hey, Adam, thanks. Great stuff. We'll have to get a podcast together at some point this week to recap the entire draft.
I'll bring the Portillo's, my friend.
Yeah, it better be there. More importantly, bring the beer.
That's for after the podcast, or maybe even better yet, during it.
Yeah, I think we can. It's a podcast. You can drink on a podcast, right, Mark? You make the.
I believe the Canargle wagon rolls every Friday at 5. So
no laws on the internet, right, fellas?
That's right. Have a good day, Adam. Talk to you later.
Adam, you're the best.
See you, fellas.
Adam Johns, Chicago Sun-Times, and Adam Hogue's favorite partner on WGN Radio.
No. Yeah, you almost tricked me there. You put me in a really hard spot. Now, here's how I'm going to get out of it. Adam Johns is not my partner on WGN Radio. He's my partner on WGNRadio.com. You, Mark Carmen, are my partner in life.
Just thank you.
And
give me a fist pump.
And
works for radio.
WGN Radio.
My man.
Hey, Pat Fitzgerald's going to join us after the 4 o'clock news.
Awesome. We'd love to take some calls from you, too. Your thoughts on the Bears draft, 312-981-7200. We're going to do mostly football today, 98%. But we got to give some love to the 17-5 World Series champion-to-be Chicago Cubs at some point today. Just has to happen. Just want to let you know that.
You know there's another team in town.
Yeah, but they've lost their last two and the slides.
Oh, season's over.
Slide's already starting. It's obvious. 720 WGN.
That ball hit high and deep. Bravo goes back at the fence. Looks up. You can put it on the board. Yes. And this game is tied at 3.
They had worked Brett Lowry up the entire night. And this was a duplicate of the first pitch of the sequence.
Fly ball in the deep left. Francoeur is back. He's at the wall. It's a grand slam. Matt Caesar breaks it wide open.
Brief interruption in the NFL draft talk for our Northside, Southside report, which is sponsored by Vienna Beef. He's Adam Hogue. I'm Mark Harmon. This is The Beat. White Sox with a Saturday night game as they are playing at Baltimore. The great, I should say, Matt Latos on the mound tonight. Wow. Holy Matt Latos, 4-0 with an ERA of .74. Maybe the signing of the offseason. He goes tonight for the White Sox, who look to snap a two-game slide. Matt Latos going against a young man by the name of Kevin Gausman, 25 years old, out of LSU, who's going for the Orioles. Side. Cubs were rained out today at Wrigley. They'll take on the Braves tomorrow. The doubleheader with Atlanta probably comes sometime in July. And, you know, when we do our North Side, South Side report, Adam, when you talk about the Cubs, I mean, basically you just started out with, you know, they're the best team in baseball.
They didn't win today.
That's true, but, you know, the only thing that can stop the Cubs right now is rain.
Can I tell you what's really unfortunate, though? Speaking of radio partners, my original radio partner from WSUM in Madison, Wisconsin, the student radio station, is in town this weekend.
Oof.
He covered the NFL draft. He works for ESPN Redskins Radio in D.C. Okay, so he was here covering the draft for them. He was also from Atlanta, so he's here doubling up with the draft. His bachelor party was supposed to be today at a Wrigley rooftop. His hometown team, the Atlanta Braves. Can you think of a better bachelor party? Rained out.
Well, here's
come on.
Well, here's the thing. Let me spray some sunshine on that, if I will. As I may have mentioned once or twice on the show, I used to sell beer out at Wrigley Field for many years. And this is a little bit of a tragic story, but I got to throw it in here. So it was a Saturday afternoon. They were playing the St. Louis Cardinals. The ballpark is filled to the brim. For whatever reason, the game is not starting on time. I'm selling beer after beer after beer after beer. Everyone's having a great time. Joe Girardi steps out of the Cubs dugout. He announces that Daryl Kyle has passed away, which happened in a hotel in downtown Chicago. Very emotional, Girardi. We could actually pull the sound here. And they didn't play the game, which they shouldn't have. You know what happened? I continued to sell beer as people didn't leave. They just kept drinking. They didn't leave. You don't need a game. He could just. Do they have a rooftop? Did you say?
Yeah.
So he could just be on the rooftop.
I wonder what they're doing.
You can't see anything from up there anyway, which was my whole contention with the rooftops. Don't sell. Doesn't matter. You don't need to see the field. Put a TV up there. You're just gonna have a good time. Don't let this rain get you down. Have your bachelor party. You don't need to see the baseball game. Replay yesterday's game.
Pretend the game is there.
You're still fine.
Okay.
Got to think outside the box
here.
Well,
I'm sure they didn't cancel the bachelor party. It's Chicago. There's plenty of things to do. They probably went to Draft Town or something.
Right.
And they're having a great time. Hey, this was the same exact weather I had at my bachelor party at the Kentucky Derby.
Right, and you had, and how was it?
And we had fun, even though it was soaking wet for like 72 hours straight.
Exactly right. Quick timeout. Pat Fitzgerald, your Northwestern Wildcats, and a head coach of two guys drafted in the NFL draft today on 720 WGN.
Trips right the wide side for the Wildcats. Now Vitaly motions from that side to the left. On first down, snap to Thorson. Gets a block, throwing downfield. Got it at the 15 of the 10 of the 5. Reaching for the end zone. Touchdown, Dan Vitaly. And the Wildcats take the lead. On third down at 10, Nebraska. Snap to Armstrong. Armstrong under pressure again. He's going to be hit. Gets away, and now Lowry's got him. And down he goes. Down he goes at the 14-yard line.
Who else?
Dean Lowry, his second sack of the day with Deontay Gibson. And the Cornhuskers go 3-and-out.
Oh, I just got so turned on.
Dude, Dean Lowry's game at Nebraska was one of the most dominating, maybe the most dominating college football performance I saw all season.
14 tackles, if memory serves, is that right? Whatever it was, it was
like
ridiculous.
He had like 8 TFLs in one game.
That was the great Dave Ennett on the call. If you don't know that, then you haven't been living your life the right way, but I got to give Dave Ennett the credit there.
The noise that came out of your mouth when you heard that highlight.
I get so turned on by Dave Ennett's football calls. It's uncomfortable for me, and perhaps maybe for Dave Ennett.
Probably, yeah.
When I'm sitting in the booth doing a halftime scoreboard, and Dave walks out, and I just kind of look at him in so much awe. You do such an amazing job, Dave. I really like what you're doing. And then he, you know, kind of looks at me awkwardly and says, Carmen, see you in 10 minutes there, buddy. Don't mess it up.
Are you done?
Yeah, I think
so. Are you done sucking up to him?
No, I'm going to call. You know what? Speaking of sucking up, one of our the greatest texts we've ever had, right?
Okay.
From the 214. Carmen, great to hear the Three Bears back with you. High praise for me from OB at the end of the show. I concur. You are the Jew that holds the show together. He puts in parentheses. I'm one too, so I can get away with that. I think you need to poke your head onto WGN TV. Get Ennett to make that happen just one time. P.S. Hoagie does a great job too.
Thank you.
Is that not like the greatest text ever? You give everybody in the sports office of the show and everybody credit. I really enjoyed that.
Thank you. 214. Put your name on that text.
Yeah, put your name on that text. And shout out. Great shout out to the Passover too. I mean, I'll call you later. We'll sing a Dianu. Speaking of great men, let's bring in the head coach of the Northwestern Wildcats, a proud papa, so to speak, today. Two of his guys getting picked, Dean Lowry and Dan Vitaly, both in the NFL. Pat Fitzgerald with us on WGN Radio. Fitz, what kind of celebration dance do you do when your guys get selected in the NFL? Because it's a great day for the Wildcats.
Yeah, it is, and a terrific day for Dean and Danny's families. Just couldn't be more excited for them and really fired up. You know, two guys that are, you know, had great careers here, terrific leaders, leave a legacy of amazing success and work ethic, and just really happy and proud of them.
We came out of our break with Dave Ennett's calls of Dean Lowry at Nebraska this year. He had 6 tackles for loss and 2 sacks, 10 total tackles in that game. I was just saying, Fitz, that might have been the most dominating performance I saw in college football all season. He was just so good in that game.
Yeah, he played out of his mind. And, you know, I think, you know, sometimes the NFL gets a little bit caught up in some measurables. You probably heard even some of the pundits there. You know, when he got drafted, you know, he's a great motor player, great player. You know, his arms are just a little bit short. I have no idea what that means, but Dino was a great player for us, and he's going to be a great pro. He already is a pro with his attitude and work ethic, and, you know, the Green Bay Packers, you know, got a guy that's going to come in and just compete from day one, and I think make that organization proud.
Yeah, I think he's a great fit in Green Bay. I mean, I guess we all got to deal with him going to the Packers instead of the Bears. But really, the way that they rotate their defensive linemen, and he's just such a complimentary player, kind of doing the dirty work for other guys to get to the quarterback. And then he'll clean up, too, and get plenty of numbers that way. But just thinking about Clay Matthews coming off on the edge there, I think Dean Lowry will be a great addition to that defensive line.
Yeah, he's a perfect fit for what they do, and he's got, you know, position flexibility. You know, and the big thing now is, you know, even the 3-4 teams, when they get into their sub-package, you know, and Dean, for us, in our sub-package, moved inside. So mm-hmm. There was evidence that he could do that at the next level, and Really, I think he's a great, great fit and couldn't be going to a better organization.
Pat Fitzgerald, head coach of Northwestern football with us here on 720 WGN. Fitz, when we talked about having you on, a couple people texted in with some questions. One was, I'm just going to read this to you. It seemed that you guys at Northwestern, you specifically, Fitz, had a close relationship with the Lovey regime when he was with the Bears. I'm wondering if that's true, and if so, does that make Northwestern Illinois a little bit more fun for you now?
Well, it's always fun to compete against your friends, and I consider Lovey a close friend. He was great to us when he was in Hallis Hall and with the Bears, and two of his staff members played for me here in Tim McGargle, and then Carrick McGee worked with us here at Northwestern. So a lot of familiarity and a ton of respect, for all those men, and wish them nothing but the best of luck in every game but one, and it should be a fun competition.
Northwestern head coach Pat Fitzgerald on with us here on the beat. Adam Hogue, Mark Carmen with you on 720 WGN. So Dan Vitale then ends up in Tampa Bay. I think a pretty good fit for him there as well. What do you think about how Danny can fit with the Buccaneers?
Well, a great leader. Very similar to Dean as far as, just a grinder. A guy that is a self-made man, and two-star recruit. I think we were one of two offers he had coming out of high school.
Wow.
Had a great career here for us, four-year starter, and he's going to fit in really well with Coach Cutter's offense. They were looking for a very specific guy with Dan's skills, kind of just how we use our super back, fullback, H-back that would be complementary to their primary on-the-line tight end. And then Danny's going to be a core four special teams player, and that's where I think he's going to make his mark especially, is you're going to see him covering kicks, protecting the punt protection, kickoff return. Even late in the year for us, we put Danny back as our off returner. So, very talented guy in the kicking game. I can see both Dan and Dean having long careers because of their work ethic and their attitude. And like I said, they're already pros right now, so they're gonna approach this the right way. I don't think they're gonna go out and buy new Bentleys and waste all their money. I think they're gonna be driving the cars they leave Northwestern with and probably rent apartments and saving every nickel and just showing up early and going home late and grinding it out to be a great professional football player.
How many of the guys that you talk to, Fitz, is it a huge selling point for you to say, hey, these guys went to the NFL? Do guys ask you that a lot when you're recruiting, or is that not typically a question you hear?
Well, we don't want to, frankly, I don't want to coach a young man that doesn't have dreams and goals of playing the National Football League. We believe we're recruiting a very unique person, someone that has the academic credentials and character out of high school to be admissible and graduate from here at Northwestern in 4 years. And then we want that combination of a guy that wants to compete for championships while he's here and then personally want to play in the National Football League. So, yeah, absolutely. It's a big part of what we talk about. And it's an area that we think we're really gaining on it from the high school recruiting standpoint of getting guys that are focused on more than just being great students. They want to be elite-level football players and win at the elite level, and I think you've seen us growing at that world, and I think we're going to get better and better each year, and we've already got a bunch of juniors that are coming back next year that I know the NFL is very excited about, and I look forward to those guys having great senior years.
Anthony Walker has a chance, I would think, perhaps.
I think so.
It's a little bit more than the Dumb and Dumber you're saying there's a chance.
Yeah. Hey, Coach, I've been so immersed with the NFL draft last couple of weeks. Can you catch me and some of our listeners, too, that aren't so familiar with this whole satellite camp issue? What's been going on? And kind of what the hurdles are right now that you and some of these other coaches are kind of going through right now?
Well, the new structure within the NCAA allows, the Power Five and the Group of Five to propose legislation and then vote. A couple of conferences decided to make a priority. One of the first priorities was to ban the ability for camps to be off your campus and basically change the rule. I'm not going to comment on everything that went through in the vote, but I was disappointed to see the initial outcome. I really think it sacrificed full scholarship opportunities for young people. And we have a showcase camp here in Evanston. We'll have over 300 coaches here, over 100 schools represented, and I think we had 12 other group of five schools that were going to be offering full scholarships. And we did that you know, quite frankly, to help the kids in Chicago that don't have the means to get out to see Wyoming and Nevada, to get out to Harvard and Yale, or, you know, go to all the Mid-American camps. You know, we want to invite all those coaches here to help, you know, Chicago kids first. And, you know, I think we had close to 1,600 campers last year at this camp, and we were going to lose the ability to have those group of five coaches here, which to me makes no sense. So, you know, I think we've got a lot of things we can fix in college football. And, you know, us even taking time today to talk about this issue, I think, is not the number one priority to improve our game or the student-athlete experience. But, you know, I think a lot of growing pains we have to go through with the new structure, but I believe in it, and I think we're going to get to a better destination.
Pat Fitzgerald, the outstanding head coach of Northwestern football, with us here on 720 WGN. Fitz, one more question just on the draft and sort of a philosophy as a whole. Laramie Tunzel, he might have been the number one overall pick, and then who knows where he would have gone after the Rams traded up, but he clearly dropped because of some choices that he made when he was a freshman, or allegedly a freshman. Yet, so the reason why I'm bringing it up, social media changed the NFL draft this year. And I'm just curious, you got a lot of young kids that are on Twitter, on Facebook, whatever, Snapchat, everything. I mean, how do you let a kid have a college experience and be a part of the social media world on some level, but yet also try to, you know, protect them? Because, you know, people, I guess, they don't necessarily realize what choices they make, how wide-ranging. I mean, he never envisioned that video was going to come out the way it did, and unfortunately that happened to a young man.
Well, see, you know, it's always disappointing to see, you know, young people suffer consequences from their decisions and their choices, but that's the reality of the world that we live in. And, you know, to me, I think it's all about education. We bring in a great group to visit with our guys and educate them, you know, and go through kind of the do's and the don'ts and the rules of the road. But you're right, they're 18 to 22 years old, and they're going to make mistakes. And when you make mistakes, you've got to own them, and you're going to be held accountable for those mistakes. And that's what we try to do with our guys, is educate them and then, you know, work through that process of understanding. Sometimes you got to, you know, protect them from themselves, because at the end of the day, that video, you know, was created for that young man, I'm assuming, by, you know, somebody that he thought he knew and somebody that he thought he trusted. And it's one thing to see it exposed, you know, over draft weekend, which is really disappointing for that young person. But it's a great life lesson for young people to learn. I'll definitely use that in our training camp team meetings and show the guys the pitfalls of social media. But at the same time, you know, when you look at the decisions that high school kids are making, we're already looking at that in the recruiting process. And I know Fortune 500 America is looking at our graduates, not only on our rosters, but also on our college campuses. So it's a reality of the world that we live in, and kids have got to understand that they should probably be taking the pictures and taking the videos and not be in them. And if you don't, you're rolling the dice, and bad things can happen.
And that's another great point, too. By the way, if you're in high school, college recruiters, they're going to be looking at that stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. You got it.
It's low-hanging fruit, guys. It's easy. I mean, it's really not hard to reveal a kid's character when you go on a social media. Even more importantly, when you go on their friends and who they're buddies with, and see, well, wow, you're friends with this guy named Joe. Well, no, Coach, I'm not. Oh, really? Well, you're in 45 pictures with Joe. And, you know, what do you guys do with Joe's majoring in beer bongs. You know, what are we doing here, buddy? You know, so it's if kids are naive enough to put it out there, we're going to be smart enough to look at it. And if not anything else, investigate it deeply. It's right. Too bad that's the world we live in, but that is what it is.
Right.
It's amazing how much has changed, and I think we all agree that it's probably a good thing that it wasn't to this level.
Well, you want,
when we were that young.
You want to play big time college athletics. You got to be doing things the right way.
Hey, Coach, congratulations on Danny Vitale and Dean Lowry ending up where they did today. We'll see if we can get a couple other Wildcats selected by the time the day's over, and I'm sure a few of them, Deontay Gibson, Nick Van Hoos, will end up on rosters by the end of the day, even if it's with undrafted contracts.
And everybody I run into says Clayton Thorson looks great.
Yeah, he had a great spring, and, you know, just going back to the draft, really fired up for Dan and Dino. And I know there'll be some more guys. Hopefully they get drafted. But at a certain point, you almost wish they go as free agents so they can pick the organization and the opportunity. But fired up. What a great senior class we had, and just very thankful to them and their families for what they've given to our program. And fired up to watch them play on Sunday. So thanks, guys, for the time. Have a great weekend, and go Cats.
Thanks, Coach. Talk soon. All right, that's Pat Fitzgerald, head coach of the Northwestern Wildcats. A happy head coach today, seeing two of his players end up on NFL teams, and there will probably be a couple more by the end of the day.
I want to share, coming back here, just a social media story, which just the way the world is spinning right now, just a reminder to the youth of America, we're going to do a public service announcement coming back here.
Okay. Sounds good. It's 720 WGN.
Adam Hoge. I'm Mark Carmen. It's the B. Thanks to Pat Fitzgerald, the great Pat Fitzgerald, for jumping on with us. That was enjoyable. Let's get you updated on everything that's going on in the NFL draft as we creep towards the end of round six. Highlights of late, Adam Hoge?
Well, Rico Gathers, who is a...
Uncle Rico?
Basketball player.
Hank Gathers related?
Maybe. I don't know.
Let's do a little... I'll do a research while you're doing that.
You do that. Anyway, Rico Gathers, he played basketball at Baylor. If you're a college basketball fan, you probably watched Rico Gathers play basketball this year. One of those big rebounding type guys, power forward, who hasn't played football in 9 years. Why did he just get drafted into the NFL? Because he has been trying to show that he can be a tight end in the National Football League. And teams fell in love with his leaping ability and his athleticism and his size. How many of these basketball type players have we seen turn into decent tight ends? So he's going to be very raw. But the Dallas Cowboys take Rico Gathers with the 42nd pick in the 6th round. So Rico Gathers hasn't played football in 9 years, just got drafted into the NFL.
His father is the cousin of the late Loyola Marymount All-American Hank Gathers.
Okay, so there's a connection.
There actually is a connection there.
Some other recent picks. Aaron Burbridge, the wide receiver out of Michigan State, who I like a lot. He goes to San Francisco 49ers in the 6th round. Let's see, Maurice Kennedy, a cornerback from out of Virginia, who I like. He goes to the Baltimore Ravens. That's a pretty good fit. And then Jeff Driskel, one of the quarterbacks. He goes to the San Francisco 49ers as well. So most of the quarterbacks are off the board, Mark Carmen. At least the big names. Jake Coker from Alabama is still out there, but I don't think he's a draftable guy.
Well,
and Vernon Adams out of Oregon is an interesting guy, but he's small. And I mean, he's still available.
I mean, I thought the Bears were going to pick a quarterback, but I will ride with David Fales, baby.
Well, they like David Fales. Hey, I want to tell you about our show next Saturday.
Okay.
Is that okay? Can I do that?
Well, we're a little bit late for news, but please tell us everything that you, because it's a huge show next Saturday.
It is. It's been billed as the greatest 2 minutes in sports. Our show's going to be a little bit longer than that. But we're celebrating with a 4-hour party. Join us next Saturday, May 7th. Rokan is going to join us.
Big time.
At our Chicago Derby party presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka at Howells and Hood, right next door to our studio here. We're not going far.
Right. I mean, you can come and hang out with us, and then we'll take you up into the WGN radio studio offices, and we can just hang out afterwards. Hey, we actually won't do that, but, you know, we could.
Hey, so we'll, that sounds scary. We'll be talking sports from 3 to 7, as we always do, and Ro, racing aficionado, will join us from 4 to 6 p.m., the two middle hours of our show. Enjoy specialty cocktails made with Tito's Handmade Vodka, like Classic Mint Julep, or Ro's favorite, the Double Ro 7.
Has his own cocktail?
Apparently.
The Double Ro 7?
The Double Ro 7.
How do I get my own cocktail? What do I got to do in life to get my own cocktail?
I think you just talk about it.
I think you got to succeed on a level, like Rokan level. You got to have an afternoon show. Something major's got to be going on. The okay. Double Carm 2-4.
Double Carm 2-4. We'll have those as well. We don't know what they are, but we'll have those as well.
And it's going to be delicious.
Along with featured Southern dishes on the menu. You'll want to dress to the nines, too. There's prizes for best hat and most dapper. And I think we're the ones deciding the winner, if I saw an email correctly.
Really?
You can get details on WGNradio.com/events and join us on May 7th for our derby party at Howells and Hood. I love the Kentucky Derby, and I'm going to dress up too, Mark Carmen.
I'm coming right there with you. I'm working on my hat right now. Not really, but at some point this week I'll get after it.
I don't think you have to wear a hat. I think the women wear hats.
Men don't wear hats? I'll have to do some
research
on this.
I mean, you can, but I think, yeah.
Okay. A quick timeout. After the 4:30 news, I'll get to that little lesson for the social media world. It's very important on 720 WGN.
You're listening to our expanded coverage of this weekend's NFL Draft in Chicago on 720 WGN. Sponsored by your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers at ChevyDriveChicago.com.
We're in the 7th round. getting close to the Bears' final pick, 230th overall.
They're six picks away.
I could just, the excitement for the seventh round pick, it's palpable. I could feel it. You look outside this window on Michigan Avenue, people are just, they are fired up for the seventh rounder.
Could the weather have been worse this weekend for the draft?
Is the draft leaving the city after this year?
Yes.
It is, right?
Yeah.
When's it coming back?
I don't know.
How do we, what do we do wrong? Why can't they just stay here? We've been a phenomenal host.
Chicago didn't do anything wrong.
They just got to go to L.A. and give
up. The problem is they did everything so well that every other city in this country wants to show that they can do it too, and the NFL loves a good bidding war.
I just thought it was cool when they would come back to the coverage and you'd see the city and the skyline and the lake and the whole deal.
Well, remember last year on the Saturday, it was like 70 degrees and sunny. I mean, it really could not have been better. And the city looked great. Just the lake. It was such a nice day. And the NFL was like, yeah, we're definitely coming back. And I don't think they're going to come back no matter what. But certainly the weather this weekend has been pretty awful for this event.
No, we've had a little bit of a rough go here. But we're Chicagoans. We're tough. So if you missed the draft, Leonard Floyd to the Bears, in number 9 overall.
If you missed the draft.
Well, it just
here's all 225 picks that have been submitted.
We're just doing the Bears part, and I know that Bob just said this, but just in case, I feel like in the show, Cody Whitehair.
How about you say him, and I'll give a one-word analysis.
Okay, let's go back. Leonard Floyd, 6'6", outside linebacker out of Georgia, 9th overall in the first round.
Risky.
Second round pick, Cody Whitehair. 6'4", offensive guard. He played all over the offensive line. I want to throw that in, but expected to play guard. 301 out of Kansas State.
Safe.
Hampo Biancas hated that pick.
I'm telling you, he's going to be good.
Jonathan Bullard, defensive tackle, Florida. 6'3", 285, third round pick, 72 overall.
Eh.
With a pause. Not just an eh, but there was like a noticeable pause in there. Not into Buller. Glenn Kozlowski's cousin, Nick Kwiatkowski, 6'2", 243-pound inside linebacker out of West Virginia. The Bears' first fourth-round selection, number 113 overall.
Solid.
You like Kwiatkowski?
Solid.
Okay.
He's going to be a pretty good special teamer right away. Could develop into a starter.
He certainly has the name of a Chicago Bear. Nick Kwiatkowski.
Yeah.
I mean, that is a bear all day. Okay, second pick of the fourth round, 124 overall, out of Miami, a 6-foot, 199-pound safety, Deion Bush.
Probably my least favorite pick that the Bears have made so far.
Analysis by the NFL Network and Mark Dulgerian, Adam Hogue.
Don't know.
The safety position is an important one. In Vic Fangio's defense, and the Bears can use depth there. Bush is a high-low striker who should carve out a nice career as a depth special teams player.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, too. And that's fine. I mean, he should be another boost to special teams. And his mentor is Antrell Roll.
Well, that's good. I mean, Antrell can't play anymore, but he's a solid guy in the locker room. So that's a decent mentor. As selected by Adam Hogue in his Bears draft, he knew it was coming. He nailed it. The 6'2 cornerback out of Northern Iowa, 127 overall in the fourth round. DeAndre Hall, you obviously like that pick.
Love it. Starter.
Starter.
Maybe not week one, but I think by year two, won't surprise me if this guy's the best cornerback on the team.
Pick analysis by Dulgerian. It's apparent the Bears' defensive coaches had a say in this draft. Hall is an intriguing small schooler with a Swiss Army knife skill set. He played all over Northern Iowa's defense, including in their front seven, and could compete for a starting job on the perimeter or as a safety once he adjusts to the NFL game. You agree with that?
Yeah, like I said earlier in the show, I mean, he is so intriguing because of his length. His arms are longer than most left tackles, and he can play press coverage. The thing is, he's got to get stronger because playing press coverage against FCS wide receivers and playing press coverage against NFL wide receivers, completely different ball game.
A little bit different.
So he's got to get coached up on his technique, and he's got to add strength to his game. But otherwise, I love his frame. I love his quickness, love his speed, love the potential, and I think it's a great pick in the fourth round.
to the fifth round, 150 overall, the 6 foot, 230-pound running back out of Indiana, Howard Jordan. Actually, make that Jordan Howard. Jordan Howard.
Yeah, big fan of Jordan Howard. I liked him in the fourth round. So for the Bears to get him in the fifth round, solid. He played football at UAB, Alabama Birmingham.
Mm-hmm.
Their football program folded. So he had to transfer, was able to transfer to wherever he wanted to be able to play right away when that happened, which is one of the rulings the NCAA made, which was actually a good ruling.
Go NCAA.
So he ends up at Indiana and was, that's a big step up in competition right there, and looked great last year. Played Michigan. Michigan had the best run defense in the country maybe last year. Dominated them. Was running all over the field against Michigan. So I think he's a good addition to the Bears' backfield.
NFL Network, the loss of Matt Forte hurts, but don't be surprised if Jordan Howard becomes the primary back in Chicago. With his size and downhill power, he's a more traditional back who can close out a game and endure the elements late in the season.
I think the Bears have three solid running backs. I don't think they have a Matt Forte on this roster, and that kind of potential, but I think they have three solid running backs, and we've seen throughout John Fox's career that he likes to have waves of running backs. He's okay with that. Just sub in and out, and that's how he does it. And I think the Bears are they're okay there at that position.
And who was the former Bronco running back that they were looking at? Who
C.J. Anderson?
Right, they were looking at C.J. Anderson.
Yeah,
which would have been interesting.
Who I don't think would have been a Matt Forte guy either. I mean, he's fine, but they offered him $19 million. You're getting Jordan Howard in the fifth round for like less than a million.
And Matt Forte, just for a reminder, did not sign for a whole lot of money going to the Jets.
Yes, he did. He got $9 million guaranteed.
The Bears could have easily afforded Matt Forte.
It was like $12 million overall, but it was $9 million guaranteed, and that's ultimately what matters. They were never going to pay a...
Would you have paid it?
I was very clear that I would have given him $15 million over 3 years, but maybe only $5 million of that guaranteed. Like maybe the first year guaranteed.
I'm over it.
Well, now you got Jordan Howard. You can call him Howard Jordan, and you guys can be best friends.
It's better to have Howard Jordan because then your last name in Chicago is Jordan. You immediately get a bump up in status right there. Last pick before the Bears' seventh round pick would be the sixth round pick. Amazing how that works. Number 185 overall out of William and Mary, 6 foot one, 201-pound free safety DeAndre Houston Carson. I do like guys with the three name.
The three namer.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and I was very honest when I made this pick.
Don't know who he is.
I know the least amount about him than any of the picks the Bears have made, but just reading up on him a little bit. 4 year starter, 3 years at corner. Pat Finley tweeted, this guy's blocked 9 kicks in college, broke his hand on one of them.
Special Jesus. Teamer. One block kick this year, that's a good pick in the sixth round.
The one thing I think the Bears have done really well today is boost their special teams.
When it was awful, too.
And that's been a huge problem.
Right. Okay. NFL Network on DeAndre Houston Carson. They say that he adds to the Bears' depth theme of physicality. Former cornerback has a number of translatable skills in coverage. Well in run support near the line of scrimmage. He should be a strong special teams contributor early with the potential to earn his keep as a core rotational defensive back. Core rotational defensive back, that's pretty high praise for a sixth round pick.
And by the way, the Bears are on the clock in the seventh round. Bears are on the clock.
All right, we'll have the pick for you coming right back after this on our draft special here, 720 WGN.
Well, the pick is in. The Bears' seventh and final draft pick.
This is it.
Is in. They take Western Michigan wide receiver Daniel Braverman.
Oh, Braverman is great out of the cut.
So was he on that show Parenthood? Isn't that the Bravermans?
The Bravermans were on Parenthood?
I think that's what the family's name is. My wife has been watching that show like crazy lately. Braverman, Daniel Braverman. He is small. He's only 5'10", 177.
Hang on a second here. Daniel.
But very productive. 109 catches last year, 1,367 yards, and 13 touchdowns last season. Those, Mark Garmin, are phenomenal college numbers. 109 catches in a college season, that's a lot.
Daniel Braverman, spelled exactly as you would think it. Daniel Braverman. Braverman finished second to UMass's Tajay Sharp in receptions in 2015. 109 for Braverman, 111 for Sharp. Huh?
By the way, Sharp was a guy I had in one of my Bears mock drafts out of UMass. I like him a lot. He went, I want to say, in the fourth round.
Career high, 1,367 yards, 13 touchdowns. 40-yard dash, 4.47. It's decent. Vertical, 28.5. It's right about where I'm at. he's got me on the broad jump, 9 feet, 4 inches. Short shuttle, 4.2. What's a good three-cone score for a wide receiver? Do you know?
No.
Okay, neither do I. 6.86. Bench rep. What did our guy do, our Cody Whitehair, 16 times he benched 225?
It was not good.
I mean, Braverman, the seventh-round pick wide receiver, did 10.
Not very good either, but...
No, I mean, for a wide receiver, though, it's fine. Strengths. Looks like a Patriots slot receiver from Jump Street. Honed his craft with sneaky shake moves from his break point. Able to create throwing windows with his suddenness and route speed variation. I like a route speed variation. That's key. Works for me in flag football. Can be brutal to match up near the goal line with his two-way routes, like that. Competes at a premium level, a la Hogue. Adjusts routes in space and works back to a scrambling quarterback, a la producer Dan Long. Makes first tacklers miss in the open field. Gave Ohio State all they wanted on all three levels of the field. And he has some punt returning in his background.
Yeah. Who is that, Jesus, who was that Ohio State guy that the Bears had a few years ago? The white slot receiver?
Oh.
Why am I forgetting his name right now?
I know who you're talking about. I remember
blanking on his name. Dane Sonsenbacher.
I fell in love with Sonsenbacher for a moment. Great name, Sonsenbacher.
So.
How do they come up with stuff? I don't mean to interrupt you, but the weaknesses for Daniel Braverman? Very light in the pants. I mean, what is that? That is the most ridiculous.
That is one of my favorite ones.
What does that mean?
I don't know what it means.
Very light in the pants.
One of my favorite ones is doesn't have glass in his diet.
What does that mean?
I don't know. I read it everywhere, though.
Very light in the pants with a lean body composition will need to get bigger in order to handle the physicality in the middle of the field. I don't think he's ever going to overpower people. That's not going to be the look of a Braverman. Lack of height and arm length limits his catch radius. That is important for a wide receiver. It makes him a smaller target. Needs to improve sinking into space to prevent big hits from oncoming traffic, i.e. Braverman could get killed quicker than fast. So he's not a super fast guy. But he's got for a little guy like that, though, I like you're super quick. You get open. You're incredibly hard to guard. And you're just not going to have a lot of wreck. No run after catch, right?
We should get PJ Fleck on the phone. Tell him tell us what's up with Daniel Braven Sonsenbacher.
Braver man.
Braver Sonsenbacher.
Ravenbacher.
Ravenbacher.
More importantly than that, though, we are going to talk with the first round draft pick who you spoke with coming back after the 5 o'clock news. You're one on one with Leonard Floyd.
That's right. We talked to him yesterday.
Any preview to this interview you'd like to give?
We talked a little bit about his weight because I think that's the big concern right now is can he put on weight? How much weight does he want to put on? Can he hold it? Will he still be fast if he does so? We talked about all that.
All right. It's coming up after the 5 o'clock news, 720 WGN. Building a bridge to Braverman. Daniel Braverman, the seventh-round pick of the Chicago Bears. Adam Hoge has a new name for him.
Daniel Braver. Waddlebacher. Obviously working in Tom Waddle and Dane Sonsenbacher in there.
Is it wrong? Can we get like a Rashid Davis in there just to be, you know, because just a slower, undersized wide receiver. Like it doesn't have to be all white guys. We could throw in some diversity into Daniel Braverman. Daniel Brave Sheed Waddle Sonsenbacher. Waddbacher. Seventh round pick, Chicago Bears.
Okay, by the way,
Yes.
Pro Football Focus tweeted out that the Bears got a steal with Pro Football Focus's number 10 overall wide receiver prospect.
Braverman's a steal?
However, their picture...
is not Braverman?
That is definitely not Braverman.
It's not Braverman?
I don't think that's Braverman. Because it's not a white guy in the photo.
Pro Football Focus just tweeted out an African-American as Braverman?
I think so. We'll sort this out during the news. Because this is weird.
People, if you want it, by the way, we need help on what the light in the pants actually means. 312's texting and it means that he prefers khakis. I don't know if that's accurate. Okay. What does light in the pants
what
actually
mean? What does glass in the diet mean?
What was the other one that I like the other one too. He's got a good get off.
Yes.
I mean, are you serious? Can we figure out a more non-late night way to say that?
I like get off. I like that term. It's
okay. I mean, makes me uncomfortable. If you're,
I think that's
it, though,
a great football term.
It's football terms are my new favorite thing.
Hey,
the clutch and grab
headline from Sports Illustrated right here. You'll like this.
Sonsenbacher.
Daniel Braverman is the rare Jewish NFL draft prospect.
Yes. Yes. Can I please? Can we get some Hava Nagila going on here? Can I get a Dianu for Passover? I'll sing it myself if we don't do it. Just know that that's a possibility.
This is in the this second paragraph of this Sports Illustrated story. Braverman, a proud Jew, has been on the rise since scouts recently parsed through his film and were wowed by his shiftiness, athleticism, polish, and smarts.
Is he the one that's lighting the pants?
Yes.
Now look at this. I'm just picking on stereotypes left and right here.
Hey, I'm just reading Sports Illustrated.
It's my guy, Braverman. I am so on board with Braverman. Whew. Okay. Chicago's very own 720 WGN Chicago and WGNRadio.com. Adam Hoge sat down with Leonard Floyd. We're going to hear from the number one draft pick coming back after the news.
Yeah, we bring guys in to and kind of analyze their body types and their growth potentials. We have a lot of guys here that can do that with our sports science staff, and I wanted to do that. And I felt he looked bigger to me even than he was on tape. But I just love his personality, and I think he'll fit in great with his locker room. And kind of a funny story is his fiance is a flight attendant, and so he'd been kind of taking advantage of the free trips with her job. And he had come in here a couple of weeks before we had visited him and told me he loved the city of Chicago. So now it's kind of come full circle, and he's back here, and we're happy to have him.
Oh, Dan Long, I'm so happy you just played that cut.
Guy's just flying around the country.
No, but okay. Big fan of Bears general manager Ryan Pace so far.
Analyze, isn't that how you say that word?
Which one?
The word analyze.
Oh, yeah. But, so Pace is up at the podium last night. Kind of a funny story. So I get excited. I kind of get excited here. Oh, he's going to tell us, something really interesting here. Well, his fiance, Cody Whitehair's fiance, is a flight attendant. So he was flying around, and he came here a couple weeks ago, and he told me he liked the city of Chicago. That was the story.
Well, for Ryan Pace, that's like Saturday Night Live stand-up right there. I mean, it's about as funny as it's ever going to get, right? No disrespect, he's not here for humor.
Oh,
Braverman's taking off on the text line here.
Oh, the Braverman's the guy.
You know, Braverman could be one of those Jews from the Lost Ethiopian tribe. You never know. Anything's possible here with Braverman. Braverman's getting high. What? This is like the most underrated pick in the history of the NFL right now, Braverman. Pro Football Focus loves Braverman. The Chicago Bears just drafted Daniel Braverman in their seventh round pick is the point of the segment, or the point of this moment, because we're about to move on to Leonard Floyd. But I am very excited that we have another wide receiver and a guy that could possibly change the entire landscape of the football team, because you need a shifty 5'10".
Hey, look, the scouting reports are very positive. I mean, you read the NFL.com scouting report, and they project him in the fourth or fifth round. And I've seen this said multiple times already on social media, and it's in the scouting report. He looks like a Patriots slot receiver.
I'll take that. Go Ryan Pace.
Sneaky shake moves.
Yes. Yes.
What other crazy scouting words can we use?
He's got a good... They love
shifty.
They love Twitch. Twitch is
twitchy.
Twitch is a big thing.
Twitchy and shifty. All right. Also twitchy and shifty.
Yes.
And quick. Leonard Floyd, the Bears' first-round draft pick. Bears trade up to number 9 overall to get him on Thursday night. He was at Hallis Hall yesterday. I was also at Hallis Hall, and I got a good 5 minutes with Leonard Floyd. We had a nice little conversation, and this is that conversation.
So I'm here with new Bears linebacker Leonard Floyd. Leonard, take us back to Thursday night, and you get the phone call from the Bears. I think you said today that you actually thought it was Tampa because you thought Tampa was still on the clock. Yeah. So who's calling you and how that all happened?
I thought it was Tampa, but it actually was one of the personnel for the Bears telling me that they was trading up to pick me. And as soon as I heard that, I shot out of my seat because the Bears being one of my favorite teams in this draft process, and being picked by them was a dream come true.
Yeah, you said that you've had a vibe with the Bears. Describe that vibe and what they did to show the love the last few months.
Just a normal talking to you vibe. We talked about football, talked about personal life, talked about things that I can improve on, everything. And I just felt we had a connection from talking to each other with all the coaches and the GM and head coach.
So what's your first impression of Vic Fangio?
Vic Fangio, he's a cool guy. I can definitely tell he's a defensive coordinator. And I can tell he's ready to get back to football, which I am ready to do so as well. So I'm looking forward to playing in his system.
And I'm sure you're aware of his history with working with edge rushers and a guy like Aldon Smith.
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. He's definitely got a great history of working with outside linebackers. And I feel like this is a great situation for me to be coached by one of the best.
So you wore number 84 in college. Anyone ever confuse you for a wide receiver?
No, because I pretty much made a name for myself after my freshman year of college. So they knew I played defense. I kind of felt like I was unique wearing number 84.
Yeah, and you talking about that freshman year, is that game against Nebraska, right, in the Gator Bowl? Is that your freshman year?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, and that was a big game for you. Kind of, certainly, you're already sort of emerging on that map, but people certainly, I think, saw you in that game. Watching a little bit of your film probably a couple months ago, and I see you against Vanderbilt this year. You lined up against a wide receiver.
Yes, sir.
In the slot, and you mirrored him all the way down the field step.
Yes, sir.
For step. I mean, I think that kind of shows that your speed and your ability and the versatility and why Georgia used you the way they did.
They definitely – what it was is at Georgia we had a lot of great players in the outside linebacker room, and Coach Pruitt wanted to get all of us on the field at the same time. And I was the one that was versatile enough to move to a different position. So that's why I was making the big moves.
I also think, though, your best tape was when you were on the edge.
Yes, sir.
Rushing the passer.
Yes, sir.
Would you agree?
Yes, sir. I definitely feel at home rushing the passer. That's definitely my that gets me going. So I'm looking forward to rushing the passer for the Bears. Yeah, it's going to be great.
So you talked very willingly about how you need to kind of add a power move to your game. How much of that is the added strength you need, and how much of it is just the technique and the coaching?
Yeah, it's going to come from strength, getting in there in the weight room, getting coached up in film, studying film, when to use the move and things like that. I feel like I got a perfect staff here that's going to help me get the job done.
So you said that you're 240 right now.
Yes, sir.
Brian Pace said yesterday he'd like you in the 240s. So you don't have that far to go. I mean, how much weight do you actually think you have to put on here?
Probably 10 pounds, I'm thinking. We ain't really sat down and talked about it yet, but I'm gonna do whatever they ask me to do. I'm open about anything.
And you mentioned DeMarcus Ware, guy you look up to. What is it about his game and that makes you love what he does?
Probably his dominance for such a long time. I want to wreak havoc how he has been for so many years. I definitely want to mirror image what he's done to the league. Yes, sir.
Well, if you do that, I think Bears fans are going to be pretty happy. You know, you know what number you're going to be wearing yet?
No, sir. I haven't had the opportunity to choose. Even if I don't choose, I'm going to wear any number they present to me. Because, like I said before, the player, it's all about the player rather than the number. Yeah.
And you said you wore 84 in college just because that's what they gave to you.
Yes,
so it's not a huge deal to you?
No, sir. It's never been a huge deal, the number. I'll make a name for it.
Well, congratulations on getting picked number 9 overall, and looking forward to seeing you on the field.
I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Leonard.
That was the greatest interview I've ever heard.
That one right there?
Well, I'm all in.
I mean, I don't think it is.
I'm all in on Leonard Floyd. Yes, sir.
Yeah, I got to love what he said at the end. I'll make the number.
He was just so chill.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was like he was hanging out with...
By the time I got him, he had been talking, like, he had been answering questions nonstop for like 2 hours.
The whole yes, sir thing is from the Hargrave Military Academy, where he spent 1 year. So that's where that comes from.
I should have interrupted him and said, for the love of God, will you just call me Adam?
No, sir, I will not.
It's like that movie, Coach Carter. I am not a sir.
Yes, sir.
We are all sirs.
He was super chill and super respectful and super confident all at the same time. That is a combination I can get with. Now, he's going to have to put on a couple pounds here. I don't know how he's going to do that exactly. But that was Leonard Floyd. What was he like just sitting there? Was he pleasant? Did he want to get
Absolutely.
Out of there?
Absolutely. No.
Did he look you in the eye?
No, and then we had a funny moment after that because they were setting up pizza for us, and he was starting to eat some of it. And we got in a conversation about how he needs to have deep dish pizza. And I don't know if you ended up seeing, but later in the night he ended up at CSN, and they got him some Lumels.
How did that happen?
Well, this conversation originated at Hal's Hall, and I was involved in it. And our good friend Danny Wysocki was taking orders for his later Lumels that he was going to have. And they were asking him, what do you want on your pizza? And then someone made a joke like, you know, better load it up with carbs because he's got to add all this weight. He's like, just meat.
Just meat.
Just meat.
Okay.
Yeah. So get some bacon on there, maybe some sausage, maybe some pepperoni, load it up. We got to get him up here 10 pounds, as he just told me in that interview.
All right. Hey, since you mentioned Comcast and whatnot, congratulations to our friend David Kaplan, who's going into the Hall of Fame for the Illinois High School Basketball Coaches.
Oh.
Which I actually called him today. I'm like, how are you going into the Hall of Fame? How is that possible? There's nothing that I would want in my life more than being
able
to say,
not a congratulations, but how in the world did this happen?
Well, it's for his overall contribution and whatnot.
To the game.
Yes. Illinois Basketball Coaches Association Hall of Fame. Cappy. He's in there.
Did he ever coach in high school? I mean, I know he coached in Northern.
He started the Windy City Roundball Review.
I mean, I know he's done all these great things and put tournaments together.
Yeah,
and
he's going in like another Hall of Fame, too. He's like nonstop entering Hall of Fames.
Well, he's the capper.
I mean, wouldn't that be great just to be able to call any Hall of Fame I just want to go into, just so I can call myself a Hall of Fame?
We could start our own Hall of Fame.
That doesn't really sound...
The Beat Hall of Fame.
The Beat Hall of Fame?
Yeah. First inductee, Mark Carmen, the host.
I mean, how many years do you think we have to do this show for like one of us to get to like get a plaque like in the far corner out front of WGN? Like how many, 30 more years?
40.
40 more years? I'm willing to hang out for it. At that
40
point,
more years?
I'd only be 80. Did you see the video going around this week of a 102-year-old woman playing tennis?
That's going to be you.
She was smacking it. It looked good.
You're going to be a 102-year-old woman still playing tennis.
720 WGN. All right, Adam Hoge, now that you've had at least 28 minutes to digest the entire Chicago Bears draft, including Braverman.
The Brave.
Your overall grade for the second Ryan.
I don't know.
You're Adam Hoge. We'll put you on the spot. We're going to talk to Charlie Dickey, offensive line coach, Kansas State, all about the next great Chicago Bear, Cody Whitehair, second round pick after the 5:30 news.
Here's what I will do right now. I will give you three names that I cannot believe. Okay, one just got drafted. There's two other guys that have not been drafted yet, and I cannot believe it.
Okay.
Okay, Tyler Matakevich, the inside linebacker from Temple, just went to the Pittsburgh Steelers. Great fit for him. We're deep into the seventh round now. I mean, I thought that guy was a third round pick. Scooby Wright from Arizona, who left Arizona a year early, which I thought was a great decision. He hasn't been drafted yet. We're deep into the seventh round. Scooby Wright was like maybe the... He's really one of the best linebackers in college football the last couple of years. Was hurt a little bit last year. And then there's Jeremy Cash, OB's guy. Who OB,
we should call OB.
OB was on the station 3 hours ago screaming about Jeremy Cash and how badly how you wanted the Bears to take them. I had him in the second round in my first Bears mock draft to the Bears. He was the most instinctive player I saw in person this season in the college football. Northwestern went to Duke, was it week two or three of the season? Number 16. I mean, we had Fitz on. I should have asked Fitz earlier about Cash, because I remember going into that game, Fitz was telling me, got to know where number 16 is the whole game. Got to know where he is. He's that good. Still hasn't been drafted. I'm shocked.
Well, maybe the Bears can get him in a free agency. I don't know.
That would be great at this point if he fell out. Yeah. And by the way, Fitz brought up a great point about undrafted free agency. So as soon as the seventh round gets over here, anybody who hasn't been drafted can sign with anybody. And by the way, we're close for this thing being done. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 more picks left in the entire NFL draft. At this point, and this is what Fitz said, and I totally agree with him, you'd rather not get drafted at this point. I mean, it's great to say you got drafted in the NFL, but if you don't get drafted, you get to pick where you want to go. I mean, obviously the team has to watch you, but immediately your agent's going to get phone calls from, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 teams, and you get to pick out of those teams where you want to go.
If I was Jeremy Cash or Austin Blythe out of the University of Iowa, who just got picked by the Indianapolis Colts, center, manning the middle for the great Iowa Hawkeyes, I'd still want to hear my name called. As much as it'd be cool to pick let me hear my name. Let the phone ring.
Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
The Browns are next up. The Cleveland Browns. Would you rather have your name called right there, 250th overall to the Cleveland Browns, or be able to go sign with the Green Bay Packers, or go somewhere warm like Arizona or Miami?
I want to get drafted. I want phone calls from Adam Hogue and Adam Johns. I want to talk to media. I just want to talk about, hey, I'll do whatever it takes. I will. They want me to wear my pants backwards, I'll wear them backwards. They don't want me to wear pants, I won't wear pants. Well, this has been my dream, has always been to play for the Cleveland Browns. And then if it wasn't the Browns and it was the Philadelphia Eagles, listen, the Liberty Bell is something that I've always looked up to. Rocky's my favorite movie. I'd come up with something for whoever. Carolina Panthers. You know what? I really like what Michael Jordan's doing with the Charlotte Bobcats. I've always wanted to I want to be in the state with the greatest player to ever play anything. If it was the Titans, Tennessee, I'd be, you know, I love the music scene in Nashville. Nashville is, I've been to the Ryman Theater.
I don't understand what you're talking about anymore.
I
lost you like 4 minutes ago.
Well, the point is that no matter who drafted me, I tell them exactly that I wanted to be there. I know everything about their team.
So you'd lie.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I'd completely, well, it wouldn't really be a lie because I'd be so happy that you picked me that I would, like, instantly that I would just feel on board. It's kind of like
you would want Ryan Pace to give it a press conference, like,
yes, talk
yeah,
about
man
me.
Well, it's a great conversation.
That's basically what happened with Cody Whitehair, by
the
way.
A funny story, man. I mean, he was here a couple weeks ago.
His
fiance is a flight attendant, and he took advantage of that, man. He was here a couple weeks ago, and it was a great story.
Is Ryan Pace hoping that we get the Denver and Oregon legislation here? Is that what you're saying? Because that what you sound.
That's how Ryan Pace sounds.
I know, but I
think he's cool. I mean, I like how he talks to us like a normal. There's too many people in the NFL that just talk to you like they talk to reporters like they're not human beings, and he does, and I appreciate that.
Well, we're kind of a weird group of people. I mean,
we are.
I mean, let's look around with who we're working with. Have you ever done that? Have you ever really just peered around the room and then look yourself in the mirror and realize what you've done with your life?
I actually think that most of the Bears beat is relatively normal compared to most of the beats.
You Okay. 720.
I'm not saying all of us. And I'm certainly not normal. No question about it.
I'm including myself in this.
Yeah.
Let it be known.
But I'm just, in general.
Right. I mean, what's an odd bunch?
But they're, yeah.
Odd bunch. All right, we're going to talk to Charlie Dickey, offensive line coach, Kansas State, who's going to say very nice things about Cody Whitehair, about why he's going to be perhaps a Pro Bowler someday for the Chicago Bears. We'll do that after the 5:30 news, which is coming up in 2 minutes on 720 WGN.
To me, it was huge. It really showed me, you know, the versatility is key, and that, you know, doing things that you have to do for the team, even though they might be tough, just taught me how to work through the adversity and all that. So, you know, it taught me a lot, and it taught me a lot about being a great guy, too.
That is Cody Whitehair, four-year starter, Kansas State. And perhaps we'll start for the Chicago Bears in his rookie season. You think that's too tall?
He's got a lot of competition. I like his potential to start early. I think he's going to be one of those just solid rock type offensive linemen that you just know you can depend on. He's not going to be flashy. He's not going to be, you know, a 10-time Pro Bowler, future Hall of Famer guy. Just a very solid, dependable offensive lineman.
He's Adam Hoge. I'm Mark Harmon. This is The Beat at 720 WGN, 312-591. That's not the number. 312-981-7200. That used to be the number.
Hey, remember when I asked you right before our last break if you'd rather go 250 to the Cleveland Browns or go undrafted?
Like Scooby Wright the third?
The guy I've been saying, why is he not drafted? He went drafted. He is now a Cleveland Brown.
There you go, Scooby.
Do you realize the Browns have 14 draft picks?
I liked what the Browns did this.
Unbelievable.
Trade down, need talent, don't force a quarterback. I thought, and we're going to talk with Matt Verderam, NFL expert on the whole draft, at about 6'10 today from FanSided, who's got knows the draft inside and out. But I thought that the Denver Broncos did well getting Paxton Lynch.
I love the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I'd like the Jack.
I mean,
they got
Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack.
Right.
They're like two of the top three prospects of the entire draft.
Yeah, no doubt.
They got them both.
We'll do a whole draft recap. We'll look at the Central and the whole deal coming up after six. But let's bring in Charlie Dickey, offensive line coach, Kansas State. Go Wildcats. And a man who knows the Bears' second-round pick extremely well in Cody Whitehair. Charlie, thanks for taking the time joining us at WGN. You had Cody playing all over. Apparently, he thinks that he should be at guard in the NFL, and that's where he's most comfortable. Of course, he'll do whatever the Bears want. Where do you think he profiles best as far as the NFL goes?
Well, I think guard's going to be a great position for him. You know, I think that was his natural position in college. That's where he started out. That's where we started him off. You know, when he first got here, his first 2 years, but, you know, he became my best offensive lineman, and so I ended up moving him out to the tackle spot.
What are the Bears getting here with Cody Whitehair? How would you describe him? What's your scouting report on him?
Well, I think you're going to get a guy that's really smart. I think he plays with great intelligence. He's going to pick things up, I think, really very easily. He's a big technician. He's a tough guy. You know, he's a hard worker. He likes to grind, and I think they're going to get a really well-rounded offensive lineman. You know, a guy that's going to play with a great base and great leverage, and really has really good strong hands.
He's Charlie Dickey. He was Cody Whitehair's offensive line coach at Kansas State, giving us some insight on the Bears' newest offensive lineman. And Charlie, I saw him at the Senior Bowl this year, and just watching him in those practices, the one thing that stood out to me was his technique just seems so consistent on every single snap. There's just a consistency to him that I think a lot of offensive linemen that maybe a little bit more raw might not have. He seems like a guy that the Bears are going to be able to depend on very early.
Yeah, you know, Cody, just like I said, I think he really, he's very detail-oriented. he picks up things really easy. Whatever they're going to coach him, whatever they're going to tell him to do, he'll pick it up. And you know, and a lot, I don't know if people realize he's a really good athlete. The guy is an extremely good athlete, and so it just kind of comes natural for him in that regard.
Charlie, a lot of the negative talk around Cody has been his bench rep, which he only did 16, lifting 225. I'm assuming you guys lift a ton of weights down there, and I'm assuming that he's stronger than that. What's your understanding of why he came up short, I guess, in that particular part of his boot camp, as well, I'll put it?
Well, you know, I can't explain that, but I do know, you know, he does hit the weights hard. I mean, he was, you know, he really worked hard in our weight room and did a great job. I'll say this: I don't think it mattered. I don't think his strength was ever an issue. On the field ever. You know, he's got a lot of natural strength. He plays with really good leverage. Like I said, he's got great hand strength. He's got big hands. And so when he gets his hands on you, he's hard to get away from. And he plays with such great balance and has a really good base. So he's really hard to get around and he knows how to anchor and do those type of things that can create leverage where maybe that lack of strength it doesn't show up.
Bears general manager Ryan Pace said last night that he sees Cody Whitehair as a guard, but thinks he could also play some center if needed. Did he get any experience playing center for you guys, and how do you think he would project to that position?
Well, I think he would project very well because he picks things up very easily, and again, he's a natural athlete. So, I think he'll pick it up really well. To be honest with you, excuse me, he did not take a lot of reps with us at centers. He did a little bit there towards the end, just in terms of just learning the position. But I think it'll be a natural position. I think it could be a natural fit for him because he bends really well and he's just really, really smart kid.
Charlie Dickey, the offensive line coach at Kansas State, been there a long time. Not the first guy that Charlie has helped get to the NFL. The Bears, I guess, they met Cody's family too, Charlie, and they were super impressed by where he's coming from. What can you tell us about his background?
Well, Cody's an Abilene, Kansas kid. I mean, he's got a great family, and his dad, they have a ranch out there in Abilene. I mean, he spent a lot of time out there. He's a farm kid. I mean, he loves being outdoors, and they just have a great family, and they do a great job of supporting both mom and dad and the whole family. I mean, it was a family affair when aunts, uncles, cousins, grandparents, they'd all be at the game.
You never heard him saying something like he's a Packers fan or anything like that, did you?
No, I never did. No.
All right.
He'll be a great Bear.
Hey, are you a little surprised that, correct me if I'm wrong, I still don't think that Glenn Gronkowski, your fullback, has been drafted, and we're running out of draft picks here if we haven't already, but sometimes that's a good thing at this point to be able to sign and kind of pick where you want to go. But he was another guy, and he's the younger brother of Rob Gronkowski, for people that don't know that. He was impressive at the Senior Bowl to me as well. I'm a little surprised that he hasn't been picked yet.
Yeah, I can't answer that. You know, I didn't realize that. I did not realize he had not been drafted yet. So, you know, Glenn's, another great kid, and he'll really smart guy. I mean, so he'll – I know he'll get him out. When he gets his opportunity, he'll make the best of it.
And last one for you, Charlie. The other concern on Cody is that he never played from a three-point stand. He's always played with a two-point. How do you think that will affect him as far as the learning curve?
Well, that's not necessarily true, because his first 2 years, that's all he did was be in a three-point stance because he played guard. And then, he, you know, every now and then we did, some of the tackles would get in three-point stances in our goal line. You know, when we did all of our drill work, I had him getting a three-point stance, all of it, you know, in the shoots, all of it. And then because I felt like that was, you know, we did all the drill work in three-point stances. It won't be an issue with him at all.
Get that hand in the dirt, baby.
Yeah. Well, it sounds it sounds like the Bears got a pretty solid offensive lineman here, one that should project pretty well into the interior of the Bears' offensive line, and I think he's a very dependable, solid player that the Bears got. So, thanks so much for joining us here, Charlie Dickey, the offensive line coach at Kansas State. Really appreciate your insight. It helps hearing it from a guy that coached him for 4 years.
Well, I appreciate it, guys, and wish you guys the best. I'm excited for Cody. Thank you.
Thanks, Charlie. Appreciate it. Charlie Dickey did a great job there. I enjoyed that talk with the offensive line coach, Kansas State, repping his guy, as you knew he would, but giving a little history on little farm kid, Cody Whitehair, the whole family hanging out.
I like talking to the position coaches. Yeah. Last year we had Jeremy Lankford's position coach from Michigan State on. And he was, you know, look, these guys are their coaches. They're always going to talk them up. But he was actually pretty honest with us. Like, he needs to get better blocking.
Which is still the case.
Yeah. So, yeah, I appreciate the honesty, too.
Yep. All right. So that's Charlie Dickey. And we are, has Mr. Irrelevant been chosen yet?
Yes. We have Kalen Reed, the cornerback from Southern Mississippi. He goes to the Tennessee Titans with the 253rd overall pick in the NFL draft. He is Mr. Irrelevant this year.
Kalen Reed. I just clicked on him, and nothing comes up. But he's in the NFL, baby.
Well, then that's very fitting for Mr. Irrelevant to have nothing come up.
We'll do a little national look around the draft coming up at 6 o'clock, and we'll recap really quickly what the Bears have done coming back here, because the NFL draft has officially come to an end. All 7 rounds in the books for 2016.
And we'll get some baseball in the final hour as well.
Sweet. World Series, baby. Crosstown Classic.
Crosstown Classic.
It's going to go.
Will it ever stop raining here, for the love of God?
Well, it's good, though. Get a little day off, relax. Didn't have to warm up anybody today. I think that Joe Maddon still pitched Travis Wood an inning today. I love Joe Maddon. 720 WGN. Glad to have you along on a rainy Saturday afternoon. I'm Mark Carmen. He is Adam Hoge.
The NFL draft is over.
How much work do you think you put in this year on the draft? How many man hours did an Adam Hoge slog through?
I have no idea. I mean, the process casually starts during the college football season, but I try not to go overboard. I just make notes of certain guys, like Jeremy Cash, who went undrafted, the safety out of Duke. I'm so shocked.
That's OB's guy. Maybe he could still end up here.
But, dude, I'm telling you, I'm standing there on the sidelines at Duke this year in Durham, North Carolina. Northwestern, great win over Duke.
Huge win.
That guy was the best player on the field. Number 16, Duke. He was a hybrid linebacker safety. They lined him up all over. He had the best instincts I saw from any college football player this entire season. And he goes undrafted. He was at the Senior Bowl. He was highly regarded. He hurt his wrist right at the end of the year and missed the bowl game. But he was back for the Senior Bowl. So I don't know what's going on there.
Well, I could give you some names, undrafted players of all time. I mean, Kurt Warner, you remember him perhaps? Undrafted, pretty good quarterback, won a Super Bowl. Priest Holmes, undrafted. Drew Pearson, undrafted. Wes Welker, undrafted. Antonio Gates, undrafted. I can keep going here. You know, you want to go for our older listeners, Larry Little, Hall of Famer with the Miami Dolphins, undrafted. Who else could I? John Randall was undrafted. James Harrison was undrafted. I mean, all these guys were undrafted.
But so, I'm telling you, this guy, Jeremy Cash, I really liked him as the best safety in the entire draft, unless you're going to put Jalen Ramsey at safety.
Right.
I mean, seriously, he's that good. Now, the knock on him is that he's a little bit slower, but there has to be something. When a guy like this drops completely out of the draft, there has to be something going on here.
Well, we know it's not the wacky tobacco. It's guys who get caught for that get picked.
He's supposed to be a good kid. I mean, I don't – and it's not like he – so you ask, why was he at Duke? Well, he started at Ohio State. He was actually a Jim Tressel recruit. Now, he's a little bit older, obviously, if he was a Jim Tressel recruit. But he transferred out and ended up at Duke, and he was their best player.
We have taken up the cause of Jeremy Cash on this station.
I'm all about the Cash, homie.
We will do anything we can for Cash, homie. You say Jeremy Cash, I think Northwestern basketball and Jeremy Nash, just so you know, which I'm sure doesn't surprise you. 779 texting in. This is a question for you, Adam, although I could answer it, but you're the expert here. Good evening. I'd appreciate if you could answer a question I have concerning the NFL draft. Do all drafted rookies work play for the same salary, or do they negotiate their wages after the draft?
So it is set. There's a draft pool, and the numbers are kind of set throughout the whole thing. Now, there are some negotiations that go on. I'm not entirely sure kind of what the specifics, probably how the contract is exactly structured, and the signing bonus, how much money gets put in up front. But the actual, each slot in the draft, starting with the first overall pick, has obviously the most money. You go number one, you get paid the most. And then it's slotted all the way through till number 253, the last pick in the entire draft this year. And then the Bears have notoriously in recent years been very good at signing their picks quickly. Because like I said, there's still some negotiation on how the contract is exactly structured, because you can put a lot of money up front, give the guy a huge signing bonus if you want. But that hopefully that answers your question. Now, this is a change from the latest CBA negotiations. You may remember Sam Bradford was the last quarterback that got paid a ridiculous amount of money because this didn't used to be slotted. So quarterbacks, you would see the number one overall pick sometimes hold out. He gets drafted number one overall, doesn't show up for training camp because he wants more money. So the NFL, and I'm so glad they did this, because what you ended up with was draft picks, guys who never played a single down in the NFL, making more money than a guy who's been like a 10-year pro.
Right.
And that's ridiculous. That should never happen. It's unfair to the team, and it's unfair to the player who doesn't deserve all that money, even if he had a great college career.
We're going to talk with Matt Verderam, NFL expert from FanSided, right after the 6 o'clock news. And congrats again to Dean Lowry, Dan Vitale, Northwestern, WGN's very own, will claim him today, as we have before. Dean Lowry headed to Green Bay, and Dan Vitale going to Tampa Bay.
And real quick, this is now, the draft's over. Fans, you can go back to your regularly scheduled lives, as you probably should have done 48 hours ago. However, for the general managers, the fun just got started. Because this is a crazy time now, where they're trying to call
7,000 kids.
7,000 kids, his agents. These agents' phones crazy. It's kind of a process that should be fixed a little bit. There's a great Andrew Brandt story where a kid didn't have an agent, and he was working for the Packers at the time, and he signed the kid, or he thought he did, and then he went and he realized that kid's name popped up on two other teams. The kid signed with three teams at one time. He thought that he could sign with three teams and then just pick whichever one he wanted.
I mean, who's going to keep me? Hello, I'll sign with all three. Any of you going to have me on the roster? Quick timeout, 6 o'clock news straight ahead with David Jennings, 720 WGN.
This is our expanded coverage of the 2016 NFL Draft from Chicago on 720 WGN. Sponsored by the United Association Union of Plumbers, Fitters, Welders, and Service Technicians.
Always emotional when the NFL draft comes to an end.
Not really.
It is for some.
Not for those of us that have been doing it nonstop for 4 months.
Well, next up for you, what is OTAs? You can't wait?
Rookie minicamp in 2 weeks.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to personally thank John Fox for moving in a week later. Usually it's always been the weekend after the draft. Moved it back 2 weeks. This allows us, you and me, Mark Harmon, to have a very fun show next Saturday.
That's right.
My favorite event of the one of my favorite events of the year, but I love the Kentucky Derby. You know that. And now I don't have to watch it from Hallis Hall like I have some years past.
We're going
to
be out at Howells and Hood next Saturday. The greatest 2 minutes in sports, celebrating with a four-hour party. You better come and hang out with us, or we'd really like it
Are
if you would.
Threatening our listeners?
No, let me walk that back. We'd really like to see you next Saturday. Rokon will be there too, so come see him. 4 to 6, Roll will be there. Adam and I will be there. 3 to 7. We got specialty cocktails made with Tito's handmade vodka. You got the classic mint julep, or Roe's favorite, the double row 7-along with featured.
No. It's called the Double Row 7.
Oh, the Double Row 7.
Not the Double Row 7 along.
And then along.
Along with.
Yeah, I can read.
There you go.
Apparently not very well. Dress to the nines, because Adam Hoge will, and there's going to be prizes for best hat and most dapper, which I actually think I'll be in contention for. I'm going to come strong. Details are at WGNradio.com/events. Join us again next Saturday, May 7th, for our derby party at Howells and Hood. Let's bring in a guy who knows how to throw a party himself. NFL draft, NFL expert, NFL director, fan-sided, has been around. The NFL block was out of the draft all weekend. Matt Verderam with us now on WGN Radio. Matt, let's start with your overall opinion. Who in the NFC North, between the Bears, Packers, Lions, and Vikings, who had the best draft if you were grading it right now, 7 minutes after the draft ended?
Well, 7 minutes after the draft ended, I think Chicago and Minnesota were the best of the teams. I thought Green Bay's draft was fine. I didn't think there was anything wrong with it. I just didn't see a whole lot of pizzazz out of it. I thought the first-round pick of Kenny Clark was maybe a little bit of a reach. Chicago, Leonard Floyd fits exactly what they want to do. I mean, the Bears are a team now playing a 3-4 defense under Vic Fangio, and you've got to have a pass rush in that defense. They got Terrell Freeman and Dan Trevathan to man the inside. Now they get Floyd, who's going to rush the passer opposite of Pernell McPhee. So you have one of the better linebacking cores in the league. I really like DeAndre Hall late as a corner. He's a guy who could come in and compete right away. So I like that pick a lot. The Vikings, you look at a team that went out and got Mackenzie Alexander late. They got the German receiver that everybody was talking about in the sixth round, so that's a pick that maybe it doesn't work out, but there's a lot of upside there. Minnesota's really done a nice job of drafting recently, so I think those two teams really stood out in the North.
Who are some of your guys that you were surprised went undrafted? And by the way, Scooby Wright, who went like fifth to last pick or fourth to last pick, there's a great video of him. He cried, and then he ran outside and jumped in a pool.
Hashtag Scooby Wright.
Pretty sweet video. You got to find it on Twitter. It's going around right now. But for instance, I can't believe Jeremy Cash, a safety out of Duke, went undrafted. Little surprise, yep. Michigan State center Jack Allen went undrafted. Tyvis Powell from Ohio State, surprised he went undrafted.
I think you hit on the two guys, what I would have said. I think that's Cash and Powell, both guys, secondary guys. And the NFL is a league, of course, now that's so pass heavy. So anybody who can play at all in the secondary is going to get picked and maybe pick higher than they should be. I thought Cash would be around the third or fourth round, maybe slide into the fifth for some flaws that he does have, like a little bit undersized. But he's a guy who now is up for grabs for all 32 teams. He's going to be a really nice get as an undrafted free agent. I thought Powell, midway through this process, some people thought he was going to be a first-round pick. I never really thought that. I thought he might go end of day two, early day three. He falls. Scooby Wright would have been a stunner if he had fallen all the way out. But I think teams look at Scooby Wright and think, well, is he athletic? He had a lot of numbers at Arizona, but that's different than coming in and trying to tackle a guy like Adrian Peterson. But he did get drafted, so good on him. But I think Cash and Powell, you mentioned those two guys, and I think they're the two big prizes now as teams scamper to try to sign a few guys.
Matt Verderam, fan-sided, NFL expert, knows the NFL better than he knows himself. This guy has been looking at the draft 23 out of 24 hours a day for the last 4 months. Matt, what did you think of what the Cleveland Browns did? Because they seemed awful un-Browns, like they were trading down and trading down and making pick after pick. It seems like Cleveland, which it's rare to say something good about them, but I feel like the Browns had a pretty good day. Or any other sleepers that you thought, like what organizations do you think stepped up as best the last couple of days?
Well, I think to answer the first part with Cleveland, you know, I think they did the right thing. The Browns are probably right now the worst team in football. They really have no talent on that roster other than Joe Thomas and Joe Hayden. So they have to just try to get as many lottery tickets as possible, right, and hope that you hit on a few of them. I thought Corey Coleman was a nice pick for the Browns. They have to get somebody in there for Robert Griffin to throw the ball to. And then they went crazy and added a ton of receivers. So they're going to have all kinds of competition. I believe they took four receivers today. So the Browns are going to have quite a young depth chart there over on the outside. But I thought it was a good move for Cleveland. As far as other teams that I liked that they did, I thought Buffalo had a really solid draft. You know, they went and got Shaq Lawson in the first round. He's a guy who's going to replace Mario Williams. They cut him for cap reasons. So Lawson comes in. And then in the second round, they went and they got Reggie Ragland, who everybody thought was going to be a top 20, at worst, top 25 pick. He fell all the way into the middle of the second round. He's a downhill thumper. He's going to fit perfectly into Rex Ryan's defense. So I really like what Buffalo did. I think the Giants also had a really nice draft, added a few key pieces. I think Sterling Shepard is a huge deal in the second round.
I really like what the Jacksonville Jaguars did. I mean, to land Jalen Ramsey, first of all, just I like that. Don't get crazy. The guy fell to you at number five. So good, so athletic. Take him. And then you end up with Miles Jack in the second round. All that talk about his knee, I understand it, but to be able to add Ramsey and Jack, that's great to me. And then you go out and you get Yannick Ngakoue in the third round, who's got some potential. Sheldon Day in the fourth round as well. I just thought that, I mean, really when you look at the first four picks, and they have Dante Fowler coming too because he didn't even play last year.
Yep. I think that's a great observation. Jacksonville, to me, had the most intriguing draft and perhaps has the most potential of the classes of anybody in the league. On my board, Ramsey was number one, and if he was healthy, Jack was number two, and they got both of them.
That's
they didn't
crazy.
Have to do anything but trade up a few picks in the second round to jump over Kansas City. I think Jacksonville's a team that if they can protect Blake Bortles at all this season, he's going to win the AFC South, because Indianapolis stinks despite having Andrew Luck, and Tennessee is still in a full rebuild mode. Houston, it all depends how good Brock Osweiler is. We already know Blake Bortles can play. So that's a team that's really dangerous. And Sheldon Day was a really nice value pick. A lot of people thought he'd be a second rounder, or at worst, the third. Jacksonville gets him in the fourth. So they look really, really good. And as you mentioned, Fowler coming back, everybody forgets about it, but he got hurt. He was the third overall pick last year. This is a guy who is really going to create some havoc off the edge if that knee holds up.
Matt Verderamp, fan-sided NFL expert with us here on 720 WGN. As far as the quarterbacks go, so Jared Goff is, you know, Johnny Los Angeles Ram now, and Carson Wentz is, I suppose, is going to be the next great thing in Philadelphia, and then you got Paxton Lynch landing in Denver.
Do you know he got booed when he arrived at the airport in Philly?
Which
Carson Wentz? I mean, what is wrong with that city?
They're the best and the worst all at the same time. I mean, 3 years from now, man, we're going to replay the tape from this interview. Who is going to be the best quarterback that came out of this draft?
Jared Goff will be the best quarterback in this draft. I think he's a guy. Look, there's nobody in this draft that's going to be Aaron Rodgers. You know, let's just get that out of the way. Goff is a good prospect. I think he's a good starting quarterback. He's a guy who's going to get that team to the playoffs, maybe not this year, but down the line. He's somebody who I think is a legitimate, could start for 12, 15 years in the NFL, and he's going to be giving you a good career. Maybe he's a guy kind of like a Matt Stafford or an Alex Smith or somebody of that nature, just a good, solid player. Wentz is more of a question mark. He only started for about a year and a half. He had a broken wrist this year, missed the last half of the season, and he played at North Dakota State. And people can poo-poo that all they want. The reality of it is he didn't see a good defense, a real good college defense the entire season. He played in the dome for his home game. So that's really concerning to me. I also just won't look at that Philadelphia offense. It's not something that really says, hey, this is a team that's going to support him a ton, a little bit older on parts of the offensive line. The one quarterback, well, I just don't get it, is Christian Hackenberg. I think the Jets, just a massive reach. And at this point, they are between a rock and a hard place because they're either going to start him or Geno Smith. And either way, that's not going to breed out the Patriots in the AFC.
No Ryan Fitzpatrick? Is that done?
Well, here's what I want to talk about with Hackenberg, though, because I've said that I'm not giving up on him yet, but I really thought it was important the place where he landed. You know, I would have loved for him to end up with Bill O'Brien back in Houston. I think there's some situations that have been really good for him. Chan Gailey's a good coach. I don't know if the rest of that Jets organization, if that's a great spot for Christian Hackenberg to land, though. Brandon, so that's my problem there.
Brandon Marshall will help him.
Yeah.
He's got two receivers in New York with Marshall and Eric Decker, but I agree. I mean, the organization, you know, they lost Chris Ivory. They did replace him with, of course, Matt Forte. But, you know, you just look at that team and you say, they're okay, but they're an older team. Last year went 10-6, missed the playoffs. I just look at Hackenberg and say, there is one thing across all spectrums. If you cannot complete passes in college, you do not do it in the NFL. If you look at any quarterback ever who completed less than 60% of his throws in the modern era, it doesn't happen. And you're taking this guy now. This guy was one of the most inaccurate passers in all of college football. Yes, he had a bad offensive line in front of him, but ooh, if you're the Jets, that is in the second round. I could see it maybe in the fourth or the fifth round. So I'll take a flyer on it and see what happens. There are a lot of good players to be had, and the Jets took a huge swing on Hackenberg and probably a miss. If you look at his statistics, not going to be pretty in New York.
Biggest bust of the draft, top 10. Is it perhaps the great Ezekiel Elliott down in at Dallas, which I guess, Adam, you like him out of Ohio State. I thought that pick was an offer. It was a large reach for the Cowboys. What would you say, Matt, if anyone? Eli Wentz. Apple?
I think Wentz. Because not even so much to knock the kid. I just think it's a tough situation. You know, it's Philadelphia. If he throws an incomplete pass in his first game, they're going to blow him off the field. And you look at that team, he's got a first-time head coach in Doug Peterson. You know, the running game's not exactly great. He traded away DeMarco Murray. Ryan Matthews is there, but he's made out of glass. You know, the receivers, you know, you like Matthews, Nelson Aguilar, first-round pick last year. We'll see what he turns into. That's a situation where quarterbacks can go to die when they don't get a lot of confidence early on. And in Philadelphia, it's not exactly a city that's going to be patient with him. And I think he's a guy you have to be patient with. Sam Bradford wants out. And if Chase Daniel doesn't play well early on, they're going to be screaming for Wentz. And it's hard to turn down a fan base. There's a good chance he's going to play this year, and he is not ready to play this year.
Breaking news here, right here on the beat right now. The Bears did end up getting their quarterback, Mark Harmon.
Really?
It's not a rookie. Brian Hoyer is signing with the Bears, according to multiple reports, including Ian Rappaport from the NFL Network. Brian Hoyer was waiting to see how the draft played out with both the Broncos and the Jets, and ultimately those two teams draft quarterbacks pretty high up, which we've talked about. Paxton Lynch goes to Denver. Christian Hackenberg goes to the Jets. Brian Hoyer says, hey, I'm going to the Bears to be Jay Cutler's backup.
What do you think of that, Verderam?
I think it's a smart move. Look, Brian Hoyer is not a great starting NFL quarterback. Anybody who saw that playoff game last year in Houston, it's pretty obvious. But at the same point, he's a good backup. He's a very good backup. If Cutler goes down for a month, let's say he sprains his knee and he's out for 4 weeks, Brian Hoyer can come in and go 2-2 in that stretch, maybe even 3-1, depending on who you're playing. And he's the kind of guy who can keep the ship afloat, so to speak. If he's starting for 16 games, probably not good. Probably going to end up, you know, third place in NFC North. But to have him as a backup, yeah, absolutely. Depending on what the contract looks like, I think that's a smart move by Ryan Pace.
All right, there we go. Brian Hoyer, things are looking up. Super Bowl, feel it. We went through the record earlier with Hampelby and Kaz. It was a consensus, 11-5. Bears win the division all day long. Matt Verderam, great job, man. Appreciate you.
No problem, guys. Take care.
Matt Verderam, fan-sided NFL expert, knows his stuff and showed it right there. Brian Hoyer?
Hey, I'm interested to see the contract. I do know the Bears like David Fales. And I don't think it's a sure thing that Brian Hoyer is the backup quarterback. I think that, but you got to add competition. You got to add a solid competitor for David Fales to get pushed. And I'll tell you this: if we know that Brian Hoyer is a pretty solid backup, he's not a good starter. He just isn't. And that's, you don't want him starting games for you. But you know, like our guest just said, he comes in. Cutler's out for 4 games. He goes 2-2. I could see that happening. But I think the bigger thing here is you're adding competition for the backup spot. That's what you got to do.
Yep, and they needed that. I mean, that was a spot I needed. You thought the Bears were going to draft a quarterback, but they never did. So perhaps that's yet another reason why Brian Orr said, well, okay, I can go to Chicago. There's nobody that's really going to compete with me. Maybe not sweating David Fales. All right, quick timeout. We'll get caught up and get into a little bit of non-football in the final half hour. Is that emotional for you?
Well, now we got to talk about this quarterback stuff. Oh, I mean, we got breaking news here.
Well, maybe we. All right.
I mean, come on. This is like the biggest story that's happened in our show.
All right. We'll,
this is bigger than Daniel Braver Waddlebacher.
I was not as big as Braverman. Hoyer is not as big as Braverman. 720 WGN.
Big breaking news. Well, somewhat big breaking news right before the break. The Bears are signing Brian Hoyer, quarterback. Of course, played for the Houston Texans this past season, and he'll come in compete with David Fales for the backup quarterback job. Also, Roy Robertson Harris, a defensive end out of UTEP, Texas El Paso, tweeted that he's headed to Chicago, undrafted free agent, probably worthy of a draft pick. I like this guy. 6'7", Mark Carmen, 255 pounds. Will be interesting to see if the Bears like him as a defensive end in their 3-4 or as an outside linebacker. You know, he kind of has a frame like their first-round pick, Leonard Floyd. Probably needs to bulk up a little bit.
I'm in. I'm sold. And getting a text from some high-level NFL people, the knock on Jeremy Cash is his ability to cover NFL-quality wideouts. His strength is as a run-stopping safety. And with the NFL going more and more to the air, perhaps that's why Jeremy Cash is not getting the love.
All right, well, I'll follow up on that after we get a check of news. First, we got to take a quick timeout. Go ahead.
Yeah, and we'll take your calls, too, coming back. Or you want to jump on in, this is the time to do it.
This is.
Right here.
This is your half hour.
Right now.
720 WGN. The Bears are up at Hallis Hall, looking to sign free agents, undrafted, and apparently also veterans.
Brian Hoyer
is headed to the Bears. Also, word out of Hallis Hall is that Ryan Pace and John Fox are going to be holding their post-draft news conference very shortly. We are going to try to carry that for you. We're trying to figure out if we have the capability. We're going to try to carry that for you live if we can.
More importantly, the NFL draft is over. The Bears have a Braverman who's going to be a nice, solid wide receiver, seventh-round draft pick. I'm optimistic. 5'10", the next Wes Welker coming to Chicago, along with everybody else they picked.
By the way, an interesting tweet here from Ed Werder from ESPN. He says the Bears and the Cowboys both foiled by the Raiders in trade-up attempts for Connor Cook.
Interesting. That would make sense. I thought that, a lot of people thought that the Bears were going to try to add a quarterback, Connor Cook, one of the guys you would think they would have considered, and, did not work out, clearly. Let's get to Darren in Iowa on 720 WGN's been holding for quite a while. Darren, thanks for being patient. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys. Hi, Mark. Hi, Adam. Okay, I got a few things I asked you. What do you think about the Bears trading up to number 9 to draft Leonard Floyd? Now, my opinion, I think he's going to be a stud linebacker. I like that pick a lot. I mean, yeah, we could probably stay at 11, but I think the Giants probably would have took him at number 10. And as far as Cody Whitehair, I think he's going to be a good guard. And Hall out of University of Northern Iowa, I think he's going to be a stud corner, I mean, next to Kyle Fuller. Now, my other thing is, I think the Bears got 4 starters week 1. I think Leonard Floyd's starting. I think Hare's going to start. I think Hall's going to start. And I think Jonathan Bullard from Ford is going to start.
Thank you.
Darren, we appreciate you holding on there. We got Ryan Pace at the podium right now at Hallis Hall. We're really sorry about it. We got to go to him.
Miami, good athlete. Also a very physical player. Like the fact that he throws his body around, just plays with toughness, plays with instincts, and plays fast on the field. So another guy we were fired up to get. DeAndre Hall, Northern Iowa, extremely versatile player, can play corner, can play safety. He has rare length for the position when you look at it, and I think that's important for that position as well. Also very tough and competitive when you watch him on tape. I like his versatility, corner, nickel, safety, really good ball skills, had 6 interceptions this year, so just a versatile player. In the 5th round, Jordan Howard from Indiana. I mean, this guy is a downhill, physical, north-south runner. I just like the style and physicality that he plays with as well. I think he complements their other backs very good. Type of running back that can just wear down the defense, just a real physical nature. Sixth round, DeAndre Houston Carson, William Mary, another versatile player. He can play corner. He can play safety. We see him as a safety right now. Very physical player, hits with explosiveness. Very good special teams player as well. This is a guy Jeff Rogers was fired up about. Blocked nine kicks in his career. So a guy we're excited to have that can help in a lot in that area. And then in the seventh round, Daniel Braverman. This is a guy our scouts liked a lot. Real nifty, sudden slot receiver. Real instinctive in that area. Knows how to get open. Finds holes in zone. A productive player. And we're excited to get him. So it was a good day. Adding Brian Hoyer was a good get, and it's still going on right now. And so we're excited, and I'd be happy to take any questions.
What was Hoyer? Was that contingent, Brian, on you guys not drafting a quarterback? Is that why it happened after the draft, or was this going to go down no matter what?
You know, it had been in the works for a while, so it was probably going to go down no matter what. So, yeah.
What do you like about him?
You know, I just like the fact, like, his touchdown-interception ratio last year, Rich, was 19 touchdowns, 7 interceptions. So when he's played, you know, he's been productive, you know, and I like that Dal has been with him and has a lot of comfort with him. I've watched him play over the years, very intelligent player, strong work ethic just because we got coaches that have been with him. So I just think he's a really good piece to add to the mix.
Is there a preference for more experience as a backup or have a more experienced backup behind
Jen? Yeah, no, I do like the idea of having an experienced backup there. You know, it's important for that position. And just gives us security going forward. So, and again, I think it's key. Like we've talked about in free agency, I love it when we have familiarity with these guys from coaches. I just feel like it reduces some of the risk or some of the questions you may have. And Dal was passionate about this player, and then watching the tape, I was too. So I'm glad we got him in the mix.
Were you intrigued to see how the board broke with quarterbacks today with so many guys still left when the day began?
Yeah, it was interesting to see how it fell out. You know, I mean, obviously we're taking best player available every time, so. The way it worked out for us, you know, we didn't draft a quarterback. We would have if it would have lined up right for us. But I'm glad we got Hoyer.
Right. How do you know
Bears general manager Ryan Pace?
Kind of been described as an old school throwback type player. Will be as productive in the NFL as he was in college?
Yeah, good question. You know, I feel like John would come in my office throughout the season and go, "Hey, I want throwback players. I went through," and he definitely fits that mode. What I like most about him, I think the number one trait when you're looking for a linebacker is instincts, because you can't coach that, you know. And so he just reacts so quick, and he attacks downhill, so he's making tackles near the line of scrimmage. And I think instincts transfer to whatever level you're playing at. So that's what I like about him. It's funny. I talked to Kevin White about him today, just about, you know, as a teammate, and obviously he was fired up about it too. So we got two Mountaineers here, good to go.
Right, you obviously got six defensive players in this draft class. What was Vic's reaction up there to the guys who were able to get one?
Yeah, he's, you know, Vic and Dal have been kind of lobbying in my office over like the last 2 weeks and dragging each other out of there. But it's just the way it worked out, man. It's just we were taking best player available, and it just happened to be on the defensive side of the ball, and we're fired up about it, you know, and help on special teams as well.
What do you feel like you've gained in that six pack of guys on defense that'll really help you?
You know, it's just team speed, you know. Physicality. All these guys are versatile, which I think is important in today's game. So.
You talk so much about certain guys' traits and physical traits, things you can't coach, and your confidence in the coaching staff, obviously, you've expressed it many times. How has that sort of served as a booster for you or changed maybe the way you pick guys, having the comfort knowing that you have a coaching staff that you believe in?
Yeah, I think when you take a player, you know, some of these guys, they're not finished products, you know, so you take a guy that's a little raw. But as scouts and as coaches, we see the physical traits. So, you know, we always say, you know, you can get him bigger and stronger, but you can't get him faster and more athletic. So when you see a guy that has the twitch and the speed and athleticism, and they're a little raw, it's great to have the coaching staff that we have because there's just so much confidence when you put them in that room, they're going to flourish and get better. And as a scout and as an evaluator, that's awesome to see that. You know?
Have you ever been in situations where that's not the case, where you don't feel like you can get the most out of a player, and is this situation, you know, special in that regard in any way?
You know, I'm just really high on our coaches here, you know, and I'm really, you know, so I'm really excited about adding players to this coaching staff.
Brian, you talked about how comfortable you were bringing in guys who your coaches worked with before. Mm-hmm. What impression did Dal give you of where Poyer fits in the quarterback room and how he would interact with Jay. How he would handle being a backup.
Yeah, it's a good question. I think, you know, we always ask ourselves, what kind of teammate are they? You know, are they unselfish? Are they for the better of the team? And, you know, Hoyer definitely fits all those qualities, you know, talking to Dal. And it, you know, that quarterback room is a tight-knit room. You're always conscious of who you're putting in there. And Hoyer's a really intelligent player. And, you know, those guys spend a lot of hours together. So you think about all the film they watch when they're studying the opponent. And it's nice to have a guy with that kind of experience and that kind of background to kind of pair with Jay as we're preparing for opponents.
Jay, he was prepared if you guys were going to draft the quarterback for you, but he wasn't really any younger. Did he talk to you as the draft approached, or have you heard from him since it's kind of coming off?
No, I've been kind of held up in one room, so I haven't talked to him. I know he knows we're at in competition at a position, and Hoyer provides competition as well.
Bears general manager Ryan Pace right now live on the beat here on 720 WGN. John Fox joins him in a minute.
The coaching staff you had, as opposed to last year, how much? Can you illustrate any example or just what?
Yeah, it was great. You know, it's just knowing your roster is huge. You know, and knowing all the personality types, and knowing our evaluators and our coaches, and just. And honestly, for me, just year two into this, just being more comfortable in the draft room. And so as we're making trades and you're on the clock and you're going up or you're going back, it's just having confidence in the guys around you. It's really a team effort. And me being able to lean on those guys just put me at ease. And I thought this draft went really, really smooth. And I love the fact that we got the players we wanted. We were able to acquire more picks in the process and acquire a lot of talent this year. So, yeah, being more familiar with the roster is huge, but surrounding me with a team of scouts and coaches that I'm really comfortable with made a big difference.
With Jordan Howard, was it important to get maybe a different dimension of your backfield as opposed to Jeremy? I mean, you mentioned he's kind of a powerful runner.
Yeah, we talked about it a lot, you know, with Dal and Stan Drayton, just, you know, how these running backs complement each other. And Jordan Howard is that physical pounder, you know, and we just love that style of play from him. So it was good. You know, you kind of want to mix those guys together. And he brought a little bit of a different dimension that I think will fit very well into that room. And he's a highly productive player. And I think with these running backs, they better have good vision. And he has really good vision, and he runs really hard. And that's a pretty good combination.
Any disappointment that a tight end didn't draft his best player available?
Yeah, you know, it was a pretty thin position this year, you know, the tight end, to be honest with you. And so, and that, when I talk about just being careful about not moving guys up too high based off, you know, off needs or whatnot, you know, we were conscious of that. Just the board didn't fall that way for us. But, you know, college free agency is going on now. We're going to be aggressive at the tight end position there. And there's still other avenues to upgrade the position if we feel necessary. But we like the guys we have as well. So,
thanks, guys.
Almost all of your guys are four-year guys this year or senior, played through senior years. By design, you talked about wanting to see tape. All these guys give you more tape. Is there more of a sense of security or more evaluation of these guys?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, some of these guys are 3-4-year starters. I think it talks about the caliber of players that they are. A lot of these guys are team captains. That, you know, we talk about that. But really, it's just individual tape and just, hey, who are the best guys, and just looking at the talent. But hey, the fact that these guys are multi-year starters and team captains, a lot of these guys, that was significant.
Thanks, everyone.
So that's Bears general manager Ryan Pace out at Halas Hall, courtesy of ChicagoBears.com,
and John Fox at the podium right now as well.
Let's see if we can pull up John.
Just get him for a couple
questions.
Here comes Johnny Fox.
About the speed, how you feel like you guys are set now.
Well, I think Ryan and the scouting staff, the assistant coaches, I think everybody worked pretty diligently, a lot of work, a lot of time, effort, to upgrade that. You know, I think we got better. We needed to. We were a 6-10 football team that needs to improve. And, through a lot of hard work, like I said, with the personnel staff, Ryan and his staff, I think we did.
You had Peppers in Carolina and Vaughn in Denver. What do you see out of Leonard Floyd that you feel like you can bring out of him, and what type of development needs to happen with him?
Well, I think anytime you make a level jump, you know, I don't like comparing players, so I think
with developing guys.
Yeah, I think I think Ryan said before, you can't coach athleticism, you can't coach speed. I think Leonard has a unique ability to bend and rush. I don't think he rushed quite as much, you know, looking back, talking to, and researching, you know, there at Georgia. He maybe not has got as many opportunities as he has in the past. I know some things were made of that. But we look at the tape and we see, you know, a lot of athleticism and good speed off the edge. And, you know, again, all these guys are going to have to be developed. You know, it's a level jump, and they understand that. And, you know, we got our, you know, work shoes on to make that happen.
John, when you guys got here, you overhauled the nutrition department, training team, mm-hmm. Are you putting a lot of faith in those folks, in, you know, if you do indeed have to put weight on Floyd and get him bulked up without losing any of that explosive?
Well, I think, you know, again, they're going from student athlete to pro athlete. You know, they're not going to be in biology class or calculus. You know, they get their full-time professional athletes. So, you know, with that comes, you know, they're here in this building. It's a profession now. It's a job. That's part of their job. You know, I think the pro game's different. You play almost twice as many games as you do in college football. So there'll be an adjustment. And with that, you know, again, nutrition and sleep and, you know, a lot of the science of, you know, being a professional athlete will be able to be, you know, put into place.
Great point there from John Fox on Leonard Floyd having to put on all this weight. He's no longer a college student. He can concentrate full-time on being a great football player. So glad we were able to carry Ryan Pace there and John Fox live from Hallis Hall. We got to take a break. We'll wrap things up here on the beat. It's 720 WGN.